to episode 8 of Comms Noise. I'm Chris, and with me are
Ricky
and Matt.
Okay, welcome to episode 8. Apologies for the slight delay. We've had Easter and real life
very
got,
busy.
Real life got in the way, yeah, unfortunately.
Well, you guys
are, but... Yeah. Well, you're busy with that.
You could do a solo Comms Noise.
All your other games and your board game cafe profession. Okay, so a quick run through of what we're going to cover on this episode. First, we're going to run through
the shop, wasn't it? We've got FAQ today.
FAQ dropped last night, so they obviously knew we were recording today. FFG dropped that for us. So we're just going to run through some emails first and some comms we've had. We had another Q1 kit, which we ran as a podcast. So we'll do a very brief summary of that one. Then we're going to look at the FAQ that dropped last night and what that means. And then we've got another part of our upgrade series, and this time we are covering faction specifics. So that's admirals, officers, and ship titles for both Rebels and Imperials. All right, so let's dig into the emails. What have we got, Ricky?
Okay, first off, we have a response from Joseph. He came back with us. Unfortunately, he was unable to play his game.
This is the guy who's going to be playing the...
Massive
5v5 fight at the end.
Wow.
So we just have to wait for an update on the next one. I've asked for some pictures, asked for a bit more details, so hopefully he'll get back to us soon. And
is this the guy that you gave all your virus recommendations to?
We didn't use it in the end.
And he didn't use it.
Didn't use it in the end.
Good on you.
I see where this is going today.
Did he give us any other tips, hints, banter?
He, not on... Yavaris, he did come back just saying like he had a few more points. I think they're playing as if a game doesn't happen, it's a win to the person that was able to play.
Right.
That's what it seems, because he certainly came back with more points.
Yeah, and listening to Fire When Ready, the episode that was just in the last week, and I think they had a similar problem with one of their bigger campaigns.
I think it was a fair rule.
They had to like make a house rule for what happens if you miss a game.
Can't
like, did it even
long.
Count or... It's difficult.
I suppose you could say like at 8-7 or something.
Yeah, I think though, as long as you've got some committed players, like I know it's a bit harsh on the person that
misses
it.
Someone else play the list.
But it's just play the list, you know all the lists. And it's not like it's not like other war games where there's 15 factions and only one person has the models.
But then
everyone's got the models.
One person would be playing like the whole team almost.
But that's fine. It's
1v3.
And as long as you make that clear up front, as long as you say, well, I can only make a couple of weeks out of the five, or I can only make three out of the five, it's better for people. You don't want to get to the end of the campaign and go, well, we won, but four of our games, the other guy didn't show up.
Yeah,
it's not really meaningful, is it? So, but yeah, I mean, it's a fair house rule. If you've got 5v5, you've got to do something, haven't you? So,
well, best of luck to him as well.
Let's
hope to hear more of
those. Get the big game in, or
or a game.
Have they just been like, no one's been showing up for several weeks and she's been slowly upgrading?
A few games, right. But yeah, you could just.
How could you do that? To get points to you get your normal campaign points.
Yeah, I would say so. I guess you couldn't
get
any.
You don't lose anything, so you get a massive amount of.
Yeah, wow. You're going to be at 500. You can't go any further than that, can you?
And that's crazy, because if you get really heavily scarred in your first game and you can only upgrade, you can only repair half your stuff. Then the other guy doesn't turn up, you can then repair the half the other stuff without having lost anything. It's not great, is
Maybe
it?
That's a house rule not to be able to repair, but you get some points. I don't know. That's for them to decide
anyway,
the house rules.
Okay, next we had an email from Peter Spooner.
Peter Spooner. He asked about Pelta and Ketsu, our kind of opinions on them.
Yeah, well, I actually played Peter in the Q1 kit.
Oh, he did show up, yes.
He didn't have a Pelta, but he did have Ketsu. I've played Ketsu a bit and I found she's a bit overpointed. I found she's a bit expensive.
It's too expensive, yeah.
You can just, yes, she's got an evade, she's got a scatter and a brace. She only got 4 health though. So
I like the idea
brace,
of her.
The idea of her is cool.
She slows everything down by 1, speed 1. Or
to 2, I think. To speed 2.
Yeah. But I was able to kill her in a couple of turns with some YT.
It's like what you want to do with her is chuck her in to loads of them, but she doesn't
just
have
dies,
the survivability.
She just dies.
I suppose you could do it with an escort.
4 health.
Yeah, I guess you need the escort.
Although I quite liked, I think she was suitable for Peter's list, which we'll come to later, which is a Sarto list. So because she's got grit, and in Sarto you need to get the squadrons next to the ships. So she was quite cool for that.
Better
I think there's better stuff
YT 1300s I saw with Matt's list recently.
She's a cool idea. So yeah, for those of you who need a refresher, she is 4 speed, 4 hull. She's got 3 anti-squadron blue dice and 2 blue anti-ship bomber dice, which is pretty good.
That's pretty good.
The 3 blue anti-squadron is pretty Meh.
Shrogue.
While an enemy squadron is at distance one, its speed is reduced by two to a minimum of one. Oh, so that takes all rebel stuff, basically all rebel stuff bar A-wings, down to and a couple of rogues down to speed one. Most imperial stuff to speed two still,
yeah.
Which still is enough. Yeah. Still is enough to go and do what you want. I think it's not like
still is enough to get out of the way of. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe two scouters would have been better for her.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I guess the other thing worth noting is that this only is taking effect while there's intel or your Tycho, right?
I guess so, yeah.
Because if you're engaged by her, if one enemy distances people, you're not moving anyway. So it's only there to anti-intel. And, it's not a great anti-intel, yeah. So because you can still move two and then you can get away from her and she's still stuck there unless there's the grip.
She could be pinned down.
And she's got rogue as well. And she's 22 points and she has a brace and a scatter.
It's like 17 points, 18 points maybe would have made her.
Maybe they chucked her in development to like, be a counter to intel, but I just don't think she does it well
six
enough.
Hole would have been better than
I think the snipe ability that they brought in. I mean, I think they brought in so many squadrons at once. I mean, thankfully they did, but like on the, I know this is a different point, but on the imperial side, everyone thought decimators were going to be huge, but
they're too expensive.
Yeah, it seems like defenders are really where it's at the moment. Yeah.
I hate defenders. We won't go into that now. I think they're broken.
And then what do you guys think of the Pelter? I think I'll leave this to you, Matt, maybe, because I've played against them twice, and both times they died horribly. One time I think I gladiated one, demoed it, and the other time it ended up in the front arc of my ISD, and it just died horribly.
Yeah.
So weak and slow. They just die so quick.
Have you played with any, Ricky?
Yeah, I've played them a couple of times. Mostly with Satyrlists, just trying to make him work.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can see it has a purpose. And it is a good kind of launch ship. Yeah. Good for fighters, but I'd rather take an MC-80.
I just think they don't have very good dice.
They don't have
great upgrade slots. You know, aside from their specific upgrade, the special slot is quite cool ability.
What slots do they have?
So they've got the assault ship has officers, support team, their upgrade and ordnance, and then the command ship has officer, support team, their upgrade and offensive retrofit.
Okay.
I think the problem being is that I think they should have made them speed three.
Three, yeah.
Speed because two really hurts them.
It really hurts them. I don't know.
Great to use with Kraken.
Yeah, maybe they thought it was too abusable in playtesting or something. But
and their side arcs are weak, right? So
the side arcs are pretty shit. So they're not Akbar carriers.
I guess we should say where we're recording today, if there's any noises coming in.
Yeah, so we're recording at Big today in the warehouse bit out the back, which Jim, the owner, or sublets as a gym, the gymnasium. It's not called Jim's Gym. And he's got a boxing ring in the corner. So
we're recording in the boxing ring.
Because we're badass.
Yeah. We want to
change. We've gone really fierce. Yeah. But
we're going to do the final. If we get regionals here, we're going to do the final.
In the boxing ring.
Oh, yeah.
Even just score
if it's not five rounds and then a sixth at 12.
Every round, you have to do a one-minute boxing round in between rounds.
Amada boxing.
Yeah.
Train up now. Shit. So
Pelter,
Pelter, I just think it's bad. I think having the ordnance upgrade slot...
If it had ordnance experts...
Yeah, it needs ordnance. I tried the long-range APT thing with it, but it needs ordnance experts. But I guess that's mostly... They gave it that slot so it could use Rochette torpedoes. But I haven't really seen those being used much.
Why would you? You're not going to be able to keep up with squadrons with a two-speed ship.
That's the other problem. And then the assault ship only has a squadron value of one, which kind of sucks.
And the side arcs are so weak as well. You can't use an axe. That's no good with them.
Side arcs are so shit.
The front arc is...
They're there for Saturn. Like, they've been made specifically for
the front arc. Even the front arc is only two-thirds of a... MC-30 side arc.
If someone put that 13-point card on, the one that adds two to the front, which would really hurt with Sato. You know, six blues plus a seventh would concentrate fire. I wouldn't want to be hit by seven blacks.
Right, yeah.
Blacks, blues.
I don't know.
It's maybe worth trying that, actually.
I feel like the command ship has some viability with its squadron value and its special upgrade.
Yeah, I agree.
And these sorts of things. But
with relay, you could just keep him at the back.
But after you've added all those points, you're sort of like, well...
I could have taken it, Nebu with the virus.
There's lots of things that I'd rather take.
I agree.
Rather than a Peltic. So overall, I'm not a fan of the Peltic, but maybe...
It might come into play later on.
Maybe, yeah.
Probably not.
Okay, and then the other one we had this month from our Facebook page.
CJ, you can
visit.
Caramel?
Visit and like.
And like,
what is the Facebook page, Ricky? Unsurprisingly.
Comms Noise UK?
Yeah. Made it hard
to
find.
At the bottom of every podcast, there'll be a link.
Yeah.
You'll find it, right.
Yeah, there's some pictures up there from our games, bits and pieces, links to our episodes, and you can message us there.
We will try to post more as well.
Yeah, yeah, we'll have. I've got a few pictures of the key one actually. I can put up. So
I think we've got some other pictures as well from lists we test. We put some details on there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so our final one from a CJ Caramel. I hope I said his name last name right. Well,
he says,
I feel insulted by this, so I'm going to look for a speech.
He says, "Hey guys, enjoy the cast from the USA here. I wanted to run a quick conflict list by you guys to see what you think. It's going to be 3v3 and I'm on the rebel side. And first off, Yavaris is taken in capital letters." Geez, someone is obsessed with that ship title.
Wow.
I'm running Akbar in our group and I've come up with this list with some FFG help on the boards. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Thanks." So it's Admiral Akbar. He hasn't put the objectives in. It's just Akbar and Home 1. So this is for the CC, so you only get one upgrade.
One upgrade per ship.
Oh, this is the starting list.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a command cruiser. That's the cheaper one. 106 points with the... That's the defensive and offensive, is it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And one less red die on the side.
Yeah.
That's Akbar and Home 1. It's got an MC-30 Scout Frigate, which is run. Yeah, two of them, both with APTs.
Good choice for MC-30.
So with Akbar, they'll have four red dice at long range from the side arcs. He's got medium transports with repair crews, which is pretty good loitering around Home 1. And obviously the Home 1 will buff the two scout frigates to give them accuracies for, like, flotillas. And...
Yeah, you won't need Well, they can get away from Home 1, can't you, quite easily, but... You may not need H9s.
True.
H9s would be a savings.
But you just want to do it in an Akbar line, don't you? You don't really want to split them all up.
Yeah. I didn't suggest to stay with that. I suggested, because I've been playing a lot with the double MC-80, I thought if you could get 500 points with maybe a double MC-80 list, you could really hurt, like really badly. Great defensive list.
And then he's got Hera Syndulla, Luke, and two X-Wing. Which is cool. I want to try Hera.
Too expensive.
But giving Luke Rogue is really good.
I know. I've looked at it, but the points, they stack too high. You could just chuck a relay.
Did he have a flotilla? Did I miss that?
Yeah, he had one flotilla, yeah. He's got 5 points spare, actually, and you don't get, we'll come to the fact later, but the fact clarified, you don't get the points.
They don't carry over.
I would change one of the X-Wings for Rogue Squadron, and then all of your stuff has Rogue. Everything. You don't need to push
any
of it. And then
the next ones you buy...
If Rogue Squadron's available in the campaign, and then what could you? I mean, yeah, you can't. You're never going to maximise because you can't buy. You've already bought upgrades for everything, so you can't.
You're
going
to have to overship, aren't you? With it, I think that's the point.
I'd upgrade X-Wing to Rogue if you could.
I did suggest. I didn't suggest Yavaris because it's gone, but I suggested to take Defiance
over Home 1.
No, take Home 1 and Defiance.
You've literally told him to take your list that you're using in tournaments.
I did. I was like, you've got Akbar, you could really hurt.
Have two MC-80s, two 3VCX for token missions. Yeah, that's just your list.
It was. I'm not going to lie.
And then you commented that he's got a very defensive list. But it sounded like you asked him to take Defiance, but Defiance is taken maybe in his campaign.
No, I don't believe so. But I think you want to stick with the MC-30s. But if we ever do play CC again, now it's been heavily changed in the FAQ. I'm not ready for the CC rules. There was a lot of stuff on CC.
But it wasn't, none of it was changed. It was all, did you see that one that they leaked? Not leaked,
a lot of it,
like,
was how
the unofficial one was published online.
What, very
someone's
soon gone
after.
Over...
And it's basically just that put into the FAQ. We'll come to it. It was all stuff we were playing anyway. Right. It was stuff you had to house rule, like when you see it. We'll come to it in a minute, but I don't think there's anything groundbreaking in it.
I'm sure they'll do another scenario that may work out better than
and look, Ben's gone on and said at the end, bids don't work in a campaign, so best to spend all your points. But yeah. I'm not sure what you could really do without stripping off APTs. And
what has he got on the flotilla?
Repair crews.
Repair crews, sorry.
Yeah, so I mean, you could do that. You could change it to a bomber command to maximise your 400, but then you've only got three bombers.
Yeah. You're
not really getting the mileage.
I do hope we do CC again.
Yeah.
Or at least another camp. Maybe there will be one for this year, maybe next year.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was.
It sort of padded out because we never did the final thing.
Yeah.
I think it's so hard.
You have to hope. And I've heard this on other sources as well. You have to really make advantage of the jump. Because there's no 10-1s or 9-2s or there's nothing about that. It's you win or you. If you can look at it and go, I'm not going to win this.
Jump
out. Get all your ships out.
Yeah.
Because we had on the Imperial. The problem we had on the Imperial side was we took a beating, like a proper
on the first
beating,
round. On the but first so did we. Like on the first round, I lost nearly everything.
But repeated beatings. So stuff was scarred. We couldn't upgrade properly, and we should have just jumped.
Your
stuff
team
out.
Lost like two ISDs, didn't you? Being scarred. Yeah. That was our
campaign. But no, so thanks for getting in touch, CJ. Good luck in your campaign.
Let us know how it goes and what you did choose to go with in the end.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely let us know how it goes.
Don't
always play Ricky's list.
Other people can respond.
Maybe I'll go on next time. Just convert him into my list.
You go for it.
Okay, so let's talk briefly about the Q1 kit. So it was a standard 1-3 games. I don't want to go into it in a lot of detail because we've done a lot of tournament reviews recently.
And they go long, don't they, normally?
Yeah. And there isn't a huge amount to get from it because we were mostly
it's just
playing trial lists because we're waiting for Wave 6 and you know, we've played a Q1 kit and already. So I was trying to prepare for Wave 6 with a kind of Recon bump list. And it didn't really work very well, but I got some good lessons from it, which I think will make it better when it drops. So it's sort of Corvettes with blue Corvettes and had the Donner's Pride. The idea of it is just to put as many... Originally, it was to kill admonition. So it's got a massive bid. Go last, bump admonition twice with engine techs. Go first, bump admonition twice with engine techs.
Right.
Kill admonition without having to ever shoot it and let it use its tokens.
Well, you would get to shoot it as well, though. So you can get that extra damage.
But it's irrelevant. You need to do four cards to it. And it's going to just push all the damage you do around to shields.
Reinforced blast doors the first time you... The first time you double bumped it, or reinforced glass.
But you can go in on it twice.
True.
You can go in twice in the same turn.
True.
But then I had to Donner's Pride as well. If you get a double arc to Donner's Pride and you get the crit dice, I mean, admonition can remove it, but against something else like a Corvette, you can do the double face up damage directly. So it's got that. And I also had I had my own admonition to do with APTs to do more like direct damage cards. And I had Recon so that stuff hung around. I was supposed to have a bye in the first game, but Ben saved me from it in the way I saved Ben from the bye in our first tournament. We swapped over, but I ended up getting a bye in the second round anyway because I lost so heavily to Ricky's list. Went for it, picked Centinet, managed to kill your VCXs, but not before you'd got like 200 points, 120 points or something. And then it came down to you were shunting your... two MC-80s along in like a line and you left a gap in the middle and I went first with admonition and I tried to jump in the middle and I was about a millimeter in the side arc of both of your MC-80s and I just got shot.
I didn't think either of them had fired yet either.
Well, no, because it was first because I went first.
Yeah.
Because I tried to shoot you with admonition so you couldn't bump me with your double thing. Or close the gap behind. I had to go.
There
and
is
jump,
a picture actually.
I had to jump in the gap.
On the page. There's a picture of where it lands.
It's been brutal.
They're absolutely horrendous.
If you just sneak into one, you're like, oh, good night.
And if I was in a proper competitive tournament, what I would have done, which is like what Ben Riley did to you in the second game, is just. Well, no, I'd have just picked advanced gunnery. Advanced gunnery and I'd have deployed on my baseline in the corner and I'd have just walked along. I'd have sent my. 6 YT 2400. So that was my fighter colours. 6 YT 2400. So I didn't have to activate them. I'd have just sent them after your VCXs
and
shot them, bailed out, and then taken a 6-5 win. Because you probably couldn't have caught me with...
You might have been able to take out a transport.
He chose superior positions against you, didn't he?
I picked that. Let's go into that. I was just being stupid.
So that was game one for me, lost to 10-1, which meant that I had the bye. And then the last game I played Peter, who we talked about earlier. And it was a really weird game, but it was fun. And we ended up playing... I had blockade. I just picked a load of shit objectives that I never use.
Yeah.
Because I had a 21-point bid, I think.
Right.
Thinking I'm never going to be picking my objectives. He had a 21-point bid as well. He won the coin for it. So got to pick one of my objectives. She ended up playing blockade run, which is side by side.
Yeah,
he had a very similar list. He had a Sato list with some transports, and he had an admonition, or maybe it was foresight, but it was all set up like the standard admonition piece. And then he had a load of squadrons just to sit next to stuff for the Sato bonus, and we just drove at each other and crashed in the middle. And I had some, it was a ridiculous game because I had some ridiculous like double bump things. Like I killed one of his corvettes without ever shooting it. Like
right.
I bumped it four purpose, times.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've got reinforced blast doors, so I can, if I do it at the end of the turn, I can clean the damage off.
Right.
But then he managed to foresight one of my corvettes and Bright Hope. He trapped me against the sideline and killed both.
Right. Losses.
And then I had five ships, so I got two into his zone and he killed three. So it was 60-40, so I was 20 points down.
Yeah.
And then we worked the points out and I lost by 2 points.
Oof.
And it was like because I went after one of his corvettes and fluffed the bomber rolls.
Mate.
I think they're about average because I had really good ones to start with. Over the game, it was about average. Mm. But at the end, I just missed and missed. And he was able to repair a shield. And it survived on one health, his corvette. But as a result of it, he managed to kill with AA fire. He killed one of my YTs for 16 points. So if I'd have just run away, I'd have beaten by 14. But I don't believe in stopping the game halfway and adding up the calculator and all the things. I knew it was going to be close, but it was a really fun game. And there was loads of like really weird situations, like you know, huge bump pass because we just splattered in the middle. And there was no room to manoeuvre because it was late place. It's just a crazy game. So I lost that one 6-5. But it was good. I had a lot of learnings from my list, and I think it's going to be far be it for me to share all my top secret tactics. I don't think it's going to be a tier one list, so I don't mind. But the repair crews that you use, Ricky, are really powerful for my list because you can bump, and then you just use the repair crews to take it off your own ships. So you
I have
can
noticed
survive
that they're just difficult to just maneuver all those ships so close because two is so cramped.
Yeah, range. Yeah. Repair crews would be a bit overpowered, I think, if it was longer. But yeah, so I've got a few good learnings from that. And once the hammerheads come out, obviously they're going to be awesome in the list.
Mm.
And once you get the stuff that lets you flip the cards up,
here's a load of crits.
Going to be pretty cool. And I might even try and work Luke in so I can go straight through the shields and stuff to put damage cards on as well.
Put everything that just goes straight, ignore the shields.
Yeah.
Go straight for that sweet hole.
You can use make him rogue. Then you don't even have
to might put Hera in there and make Luke rogue and... get Jan or Intel in or something so we can always do it. So yeah, that was my kit. Ricky?
Well, we got over the first one. So game one, it was great. So my list, I guess, I should say, is two MC-80s, one Defiance, one Home One, and three transports, and a couple of VCXs just for the mission objective, which I had picked. The transports, great, did their job, repaired loads. First game, smashed it. We already know the outcome.
It's just, I mean, you should say what the strength is of your list. It's
the combo.
Home one is crazy. You have five activations, so you can leave home one and defiance till the end.
Yes.
You can repair crew stuff off them. So if you get a nasty crit, just take it off with your repair crew.
They've got the quad lasers, so they always get two...
That combo.
Defiance always gets two accuracies from home one plus the quad lasers that I can re-roll if I need more damage.
With leading shots.
Yes, with leading shots. Defiance chucks in extra dice. You don't ever really get a chance to concentrate fire.
You get nine dice. Or nine dice.
Basically, if you end up in the side arc of Defiance...
It can one-shot you. It can one-shot most ships.
And you can just win the objective, so you've got your BCXs to hoover up.
Yes, but the downside is going first.
Because you've got fire control teams, you can move them back twice. So you move them in first, get the tokens.
And then move them again.
And then move them again with fire control and get the tokens back even further.
Yes.
And then the tokens are so close to home one.
It's a lot
and
of combo
in the side arcs that if you go anywhere near those tokens...
But it's basically, if you're given first player, and it's slightly more difficult, the opponent has to just hold off.
If hope to win by a little bit. Well, I don't want to give away my list, but
this is how you beat Ricky.
So my second game,
which is how you lost that one.
So I can't remember the mission, but
it was superior positions.
No, that was the last one.
No, this is the second game. No, it was superior positions as well. Because I've got some phones.
Oh, no, yeah, Ben Riley, I played second. Superior
on the 6x3,
I had the choice.
You're literally in one corner, and he's in the other corner, apart from his Roma ball. It was a horrible
game.
Which is facing opposite your ships.
So, yeah, we set up pretty much as far away as we could be. I don't even know why I picked superior positions. I kind of just wanted to test it. I wanted to see how I could fare against it. I didn't fare well. All he did was send his squadrons with relay, which I hate and is broken. And he went around the back of me.
But you still abuse it anyway.
I don't abuse relay. I barely lead.
Yeah, you do, because you send them out to get the tokens.
Yeah, but they're always within three. Like, they're always within three.
Sometimes
of my ships.
They are. Not always.
Most of the time.
Not when it's all right. Rebel transport on the other corner of the border.
It's has his rule state, so you've got to use the rules.
Yeah.
So he sent his squadrons just behind me. I don't even know why I picked it. I could have picked that mission that lets you put half the dice.
Right.
I could have kept moving that in front of me. If I picked that, I could have kept a shield in front of my ships the whole game.
Oh, right.
But I picked superior positions for whatever reason I did, and he literally just popped behind me and was just taking little pot shots.
Yeah.
And he just made enough points.
Off the tokens.
Just to win.
And you couldn't get to his ships because he set all his ships up miles away from yours.
And he stayed out of range because he was Rhymer, so I couldn't AA them.
Yeah.
And it was just a very... crap.
Rubbish game.
Yeah.
This is where Rhymer should be restricted Rhymer, to close range.
That's what they need to back. It should have been close range. Make it bombers only.
Even close range is a long... Yeah, and bombers only. But even then, it's all bombers.
Close range is still a lot of distance.
Or even two.
But they've got so much like AA stuff that reads while attacking at close range.
Yeah.
Bloody while at close range. Bloody blah, blah. They should have just made Rhymer close range.
It should have been. Yeah, I agree.
Anyway.
They didn't.
Game three.
Yeah. Game three, I can't remember the mission, but I went in very... I was first player again.
Who against?
Alex.
What? Oh, right, yeah.
Played
was
Alex.
It, was it Ryan? Alex? Ryan?
Ryan. No, Ryan.
Ryan Phillips.
Ryan Phillips.
Oh, right,
not Ryan,
right.
Ryan Phillips. Yes. And again, I was put as first player. And he came in quite fast, and I thought...
What was his list, roughly?
It was a couple of arcs... I think it was an ISD. I didn't note that.
Was it an ISD? I thought it was a small unit. It was demo. It was demo. I think demo, it was Gigerod.
Right.
It was demo with Gigerod to do like ridiculous
and two arcs.
Ridiculous demo things, like where you can almost go 180 in one activation.
Yeah.
But you can go 180 in one activation.
He put them in quite
and
close.
And then he had the kind of like the rapidly gaining like ubiquitous Imperial fighter build these days, which is like
Gendon
and Marek Steel.
And Sabre?
Sabre as well. Yeah, and I think he had IG-88, so you can double tap IG-88 twice
squadrons
to kill
weren't really
Jen.
A big issue. Right. They
well, it's not part of your game, so you've only got two of them. And they're both heavy.
But his squadrons weren't really... They did hurt a lot.
But
Merrick
he's
still,
probably got, like... It sounds like focused anti-fighter tech, which is good. Is a good meta call.
But Marek Steel and Gendon is great against both.
Yeah, true. It's good against
two shots...
Yeah.
With Marek Steel,
double
whichever one doesn't roll a crit, flip it to a crit with his ability.
Yeah.
So you just get double crit twice. Really strong.
It was kind of what screwed me because I went in fast. I left my transports with repair behind. Defiance went down fast. I think it took two or three rounds.
Smash it.
No, it's pretty much just concentrate. Marek Steel, the Architens, all firing. I thought I could kill. I think all I got to kill was just one transport.
Oh, wow.
Because it was in close range. I thought, oh, maybe he baited me. Kind of felt like that.
He's a good player.
Defiance went fast. Repair crews stayed way behind. Couldn't do their job.
Lost out.
Defiance died. Then I was just left with home one, which is
you
not...
You didn't have the repair crews taking off the car?
No, without that, it just takes too much damage.
Did Demo get in there as well? Or no?
I'll probably. At that point, I was just like,
it was
this
all
is
just
over.
A blur.
With
your defense
was dead.
Demo can easily get in in the non-bad arc, the front or back, and then you just go first next to... Although, you were first, weren't you? But I guess you hit him with two blues and a red, and then he just gets the hell out there.
It was a sorry game. I learned my lesson, and it was good because
well, all these games you're playing with this list stand you in good stead because you're being put in bad situations with it.
Well, that was the point, you know how to counter and I wanted to see. I need to be more aggressive with it, and I did learn how from losing heavily, and that was the point. So
cool.
So Matt, yeah. Be more aggressive by keeping your repair crews closer.
Yes.
Well, that allows you to be more.
Yeah, that makes sense. Cool. So after some of the fan mail or whatever we had the other month,
basically fan mail.
I say fan mail. But asking us to review the pelter, I thought I should build lists with the pelter.
But you wouldn't take my three pelter list that I made.
I didn't take your three pelter list.
It's too much. It's a step too far. I think he's got to play three games in a row. Like, don't you want to commit to that?
I did test the idea of three pelters, but I just the lack of ordnance experts means the APTs just don't fire.
You got three of them firing.
Yeah, the APTs just don't fire. Like, honestly, like, I played that game with...
You're going to fire at least one of them.
Three pelters, all with APTs, and the amount of crits I did was shockingly low. But anyway, so the list I ended up taking was... my squadron setup was 10 Z95s, one of which was Blount. So I tried a Z-Swarm, because I thought, highly variable dice are what I need in this current meta.
Yeah, with two rerolls, though.
With two rerolls against squadrons, yeah. And then three transports, two of which are the combat retrofits, because I had Sato. And then I've got a pelter with Ramus, entrapment formation, engine techs, and APTs. And then a Liberty that's tooled up... with gunnery teams, leading shots, engine techs, spinal armaments, and XI-7s. So essentially the idea of the list was to bog down any fighters they have with Z-95s and hope to tie them up. And then use, hopefully, my Z-95s, because I've got 10 of them, hopefully they're somewhere near the enemy ships. The Liberty is a good wrecking machine. If something's at long range... I have quite a few red dice, and I just replace one of those with a blue die and get leading shots so that I'm more likely to actually kill something, because that's going to be four red dice and a blue with XI-7s. They snipe stuff. But essentially, the first game I played against Sam Perkins, and he had, I think it was an Ozzel list with two Architens, Gazanti, and Demolisher. And he had a small fire spray, rhymable. But my list worked there because my Z95s were able to get in and basically tap all his squadrons and the highly variable dice, the highly variable reds.
Did you ever get like a three-two shots?
No, I managed some five damage shots.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
that's
quite nice. They are quite tasty shots.
It's like I just one shot your squadron.
And then with five activations, the Liberty was basically able. Basically, it's a Liberty list that happens to have a pelter and loads of sets. It's like the Liberty does the work. Yeah. And I managed to win that game. I think it was about by eight or whatever, because I played Ben, who had the bye in the second round. And Ben's game was had a very
rhymer.
No, Ben's game had a moment which I really fucked up the game, because basically his defenders chewed all my Zeds, as was going to be expected against something that was so,
because defenders are broken.
Because defenders are so very good at anti squadrons.
Bombing.
Like, yeah. I lucked out with Sam that he'd blacked out on a lot of the sort of. Anti-squadron rolls, and my Zeds rolled hot. And then the second game with Ben, I basically put my Zeds slightly too far out.
Just a bit piecemeal as well.
He
lured you in a bit piecemeal.
And he was able to pick off a lot of them. And then I had a moment where I was facing down his demo with my Liberty. But I had my Pelter in between. And so I activate my Liberty first.
You were first player, right?
Yeah, I think I was. Or was I second player? I can't remember now.
Oh, no. Ben was first. I remember because you explained it to me. Ben was first player. He activated his Raider first. Because right. His Raider was right in front of your Liberty.
Right.
And so he managed to kill something with the Raider, I think. And then he got the Raider the hell out of there. Then you went with the Liberty.
Oh, yeah, because he had Raider in close range of the Liberty and the Demolisher in like medium range of the Liberty. He managed to activate the Liberty and kill a transport.
Radar first.
Activated radar, killed a transport,
and got
bugged
and
out.
Got out, yeah.
And then I activated my Liberty, almost killed the Demolisher. And then I was just like...
You left all one health, didn't you?
I was like trying to fiddle with the maneuver stick to get in a situation where I could bump him
to kill
him because I had engine techs. But I could.
You left him on two health and you could double bump him.
Yeah, that was the idea. But then there was like... And I tried to manipulate the thing to get it.
Just couldn't do it.
It just didn't fit because I had too much shit in the way. I had my own pelter there. So I ended up bumping
pelter
my...
Pelter ruined the day.
Yeah, so I ended up bumping my own pelter, which meant he took an extra damage. So when demo activated, he just nuked the pelter, and then the Demolisher ran around the rear of the Liberty, never to be seen again.
It's like a 300-point swing or something in that one activation.
It was a case of, like, if I'd managed to get that bump, demo would have died. I think Ben might have still won the game just from killing other stuff slowly over the game. But it was basically my chance to
lost the chance.
Wreck him.
And then game three?
Game three, I had to drop a get of work. So,
Dear. Life in the way.
just very quickly summarise, what do you make of the Zeds?
I think they're not so good.
No.
They're just so...
I don't know.
Inconsistent, right?
So, yeah, that
three hull, just that, blow them away.
That week, I played several games. I think I might try them with Gallant Haven.
I would like to see them with Gallant Haven.
Yeah, but then you're having to either put Gallant Haven in danger or get them to come to you. So you need objectives that make them come to you.
Essentially, you put them in danger. The other thing I realised, Blount's ability is so good.
What, the reroll? Extra reroll.
Extra reroll with the swarm.
Two
the thing, rerolls. The thing is, it's another friendly ship with swarm. Another friendly squadron
Not
with
himself.
Swarm. Not himself. So it's only the Zeds or the Dagger Squadron, which is unique.
Oh, yeah.
They could do it. Dagger Squadron with...
then two blues and a black.
Two blues and a black that you could, like, reroll. Not really worth it, though.
No. You're probably going to get damaged.
Maybe in the future there'll be more rebel ships with... rebel squadrons with swarm. I doubt it. I think we've
and
seen...
And to be fair, if you're going to... You just shoot him, won't you?
Yeah.
You could take him out first. Because he is a big threat to leave with that many Zeds.
Yeah. His scatter's pretty good. I don't know. It was fun, yeah. I'm going to try my Gallant Haven list again. I think I just need to possibly do double AF2s and just so you can activate a decent chunk of Zeds at a time. The problem with like transports or
only
sunny,
two at a time.
If you only do two at a time,
you're throwing them in pieces.
You probably don't need to activate all of them though, because they're going to be in position.
Nice.
Wherever you're putting them, they're not going to just have to keep moving and moving and moving and shooting.
What I found hilarious first, Ricky, is like we. When I first played the Zed Swarm with as many Zeds as I could fit in a list.
Oh, that was against me with the test, yeah.
And I literally couldn't fit enough Zeds.
To bomb me?
I saturated,
not enough room.
I saturated the front arc of a transport, like just trying to reach the transport. And then I was three rows deep of Zeds. And then I couldn't fit any more, I couldn't get any more in bombing range. Yeah,
it's like,
if I had Reimer as a rebel, that'd be slightly better.
They just give the other team the same ability.
But they are hilarious, but they're just so...
Skurks with Reimer.
Yeah.
And Yavaris.
They're just so random, which I was going to expect. You know, I didn't think, oh, look, red dice, they're amazing.
If you can add a blue. Gallant Haven, add a blue with them as well. Three reds and a blue. That's going to be good damage.
Yeah.
Two rerolls.
I think they're fun. They're fun. But it's basically, I haven't really
not,
seen anyone
they're
use
They're not super serious for
no,
tournaments.
I haven't,
really.
I haven't seen anyone use that.
They just don't give you the consistency. And the three
holes
are
enough.
But they are just die to counter shots and a mauler. Like.
And whereas where the TIE Fighter is slightly faster, and you know you can use it to lock up stuff, and blue dice are slightly more consistent, and you can hit
aces.
You can hit stuff. Yeah,
they maybe should have been speed four.
And Hull Runner is probably much better than what's blank. You can reroll an additional die.
Yeah,
Hull Runner just gives you an additional die.
Yeah,
better. Just better.
I feel like they possibly should have been like had blue dice, like maybe
that's the point of it.
See, I thought they should have had maybe two blue dice.
Two blue dice would be good,
but then they're just
it doesn't
white
differentiate
wins.
Them exactly. No. It doesn't differentiate them.
But
being able to do six damage is pretty crazy. If it ever
but
falls
it's
off,
unlikely.
Yeah, it's so unlikely.
The odds are quite high.
I rolled
high.
So many.
blank shots, I say. Yeah, I've heard so many blank. But I can only remember one or two instances over the course of the day where I rolled like 5 damage in a row. It's like, that's great, being able to like one shot that thing.
Yeah, but you must have rolled hundreds of times.
I must have rolled hundreds of times. And the amount of times I rolled against the ship and just did nothing.
Yeah, there's not, red dice are terrible against ships without bomber. They're really bad.
On their own.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you could have two Mark IIs, both of them with
the flight controllers. Yeah.
At least that's what, 4, 8 of them that you can actually fire with extra dice.
Yeah, I think there's a way to do it where you can like, using Gallant Haven and maybe like jamming field up close, but then like send them out and bring them back and
Send them out to shoot and then move the jamming field in range, so when they get shot back they're obstructed.
So you have Gallant Haven at the jamming field, you send out your fighters, they do all the shots, Gallant Haven and jamming field and move up,
yeah,
so then they're all protected.
They're still dead by a defender though, still two blacks and a blue.
Jammed.
Well, jammed is one for jamming field.
Yeah, jammed and minus one damage.
Still mess them up.
Yeah, jam and minus one damage. But I did think about chucking Jan Ors in there.
But it's a different thing is, if you can, that the two blacks, the one and minus one damage means they'll survive, probably. They'll survive on one health on average rolls.
Yeah.
Which means, and the important thing is, you then get another activation with them potentially.
Yeah.
Whereas if you get one shotted, then it's
nothing.
Yeah.
That's the difference between like 5 hull and 6 hull is amazing, or 5 hull and 4 hull, because you normally get left on, you normally get that extra.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of the time with them, I tried to position them in a way that I could do their shots and then they could hide somewhere to be obstructed from flak, because they are just so
weak.
Yeah.
All right, so that's a Q1 kit. Q2, we're coming up soon. Remind me, what's in that one again? The prizes. Standard. A-wing alt art for the
A-wing?
Yeah, A-wing alt art. And then they've got one of the black ordnance things.
Yeah, which it was not a great one. It wasn't APTs and it wasn't ACM.
What's it? Rapid reload.
I've not used that since Wave Zero.
Even uses that.
But they do have that upcoming ship with double ordnance slots.
Double ordnance.
Isn't there on there 2 ordnance slots on the hammerhead?
Don't think we've seen that yet. No.
Is it? It's 2 black cards. That seems.
Or did I?
I think you made that up.
Did I just dream of
it
that?
It may be right. I hope so.
We speculated that might happen.
Because a lot of the new upgrades have a weapons team and weapons team and an ordnance slot. So we're thinking maybe you get 2 to specifically
add 2 black dice and APTs. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah. But basically, I don't see rapid reload being useful.
Yeah, no. It's not a great card to give for a kit, really, but
they were doing so well as well. Every card since then was really good.
What would you do? ECM, maybe? Blast doors?
You get lots of ECM.
Maybe.
Blast doors would be nice. There's very few of those. Like, they could give cards that they purposely limited to ships.
Why would they, though? Because
they want to make money.
Exactly.
Well, no, I mean, they gave out TRCs, and those were quite limited.
But the TRCs were wave 1. So maybe
They were wave 2, weren't they? They're MC30s.
So maybe in 2 more waves of ships, we might see a blast door.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to FAQ. So there was a FAQ dropped last night, which was April 21st. Just wanted to cover quickly something we missed out last time, which was the tournament rules, which changed about a month ago, I think. Literally 2 changes. One of them could potentially be quite important. Measuring.
Oh, one was the letting go of a squadron.
Players may measure distance and or range while moving squadrons. Once a player removes his or her hand from a squadron in a new position, the squadron is considered to have moved and cannot move any further during activation.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful. In casual, we always muck about and we state intentions and we say, right, I want my squadron to be not in range here, but in range here.
Yeah.
Can you help me to put it in that range? And you make it clear to your opponent, and I think that's cool. That's the right way to do it.
Somebody in a tournament could just...
Yeah.
Like, because, I'm in that arc. I'm in double arc of your ship. No, I'll just shift it because I didn't want to do that.
Yeah. To be fair, I
feel it should be that you should be able to measure the max range they could move them, and then like fiddle about a little bit.
Well, you can if you don't let your. This is what you let go, isn't it?
As soon as you let go,
as long as you keep your finger on it and move
them around. So you're going to start doing this, and then be like.
To be fair, though, I think it is needed. It's a fair change because you need your opponent needs clarity on what you're doing and when, and it encourages you to say, look, this is my intention. I want this, and so I think it's fine. But one to be watchful for if you're in a more competitive event. And then the only other change they made, I think they made they made store championships relaxed, or they clarified that they are definitely relaxed, which is good because it means like less.
You can TO them and still take part. Is that basically what they mean?
I think so, but also the cups are different.
Right.
So like the number of plays, the Swiss rounds, so you don't have to do so many rounds, which is good.
Staying up until 3 a.m. to win.
And they've said regionals are formal, which means you get a bigger cut.
Right.
That makes sense because regionals are higher profile.
Yeah.
So that's that. So move on to the FAC. Do you want to start reading only the changes in red? Or
should we summarise the CC ones first?
There's a lot of
there's a load of the CC.
There's a lot of changes in CC.
It's not changed. So I think we'll go through it. But I'm pretty sure all of these were on. There was something on Reddit,
thing.
2 months ago, and it was informal, but it was from the developers, and they've just enshrined them.
Right.
There's a couple of new ones that aren't in there,
yep.
So I'll just summarise them quickly. So you've got Arm Station, which is they got the battery and the
they made a mistake on the
anti-squadron the wrong way around. Hyperlane Raid, they clarified if you get equal scores, which I don't think I've ever seen equal scores, other than nil-nils where people run away, the first player wins. A big change.
Oh, it's not the second player wins.
No, well, yeah, but I guess for the hyperlane raid, they wanted it to be if you don't get shot to shit, then
you won. Yeah,
you've kind of thematically you've won. Nebula Outskirts, the total number of command dials that must be assigned to each of the second player ships during each command phase is decreased by 1 to a minimum of 1.
That's needed. Yeah. Because, you know, having no command dial on the ship was a bit crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we never knew that we were
always a bit iffy about it.
Oh, right.
It's like, so my transport has no dial.
We would have always assumed to a minimum of 1.
Yeah, I would have thought so.
Otherwise you can't have any.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not going anywhere.
You can't get sliced.
You can never change.
You can never do anything.
You can never... All you can do is...
You can get tokens off things. Yeah. Then they changed the cross-reference, which I guess they probably just got the page wrong. Bases, they just clarified that the number of bases that you can have for Rebels and Empire. I think that was...
Did they clarify when the order of build is as well? Like, do you get points from the ones you build immediately, or do you get points?
And then we'll wait.
We'll read through them all, but... No, the bases are...
I thought it basically said to the Rebels as you... Place all your stickers, and then you secretly decide which ones.
Oh yeah, they did, but they weren't sure about when. If you build one that turn,
I don't think they've clarified that. So basically, what we're saying is, if you build, construct an outpost at a repair yard place, do you get that repair yard bonus?
That's the next paragraph.
Oh, okay.
Hold your horses.
Okay. Is it?
It's determined battle effects, page 10. After an assaulting player wins a battle at a location with a base or an outpost sticker, that base or outpost is destroyed and the opposing team places a destroyed sticker over the existing sticker. Then the assaulting player's team gains campaign points equal to 1 plus that location's entry bonus value.
Right, but that doesn't say... that doesn't say anything about constructing an outpost and if you get the bonuses that turn.
No, you're right, actually. It doesn't.
Because campaign points are different to
regions. We always
points.
Played it like you got them to turn after. It takes time to build. You didn't get them that turn. So I think that's
they probably should have clarified it. But yeah, so there's the base and outpost limits. You can only have bases equal to number of rebel players plus 1 and outpost twice the rebel players. I mean, I thought all these were in there anyway. I haven't compared them yet to the initial text, but
just
I remember these
all being
the same.
Common sense rules anyway.
They've clarified the victory bonus value for a couple of locations, which make a huge amount of difference. Maybe it just balances them. Maybe just a couple of balance issues. And then we're into the FAC proper. While measuring line of sight, if a ship is in the way, do its shield dials and the plastic frames affect line of sight in any way? Answer, no. However, when we're determining line of sight, all the other parts of a ship's plastic base can obstruct line of sight.
We always played by card, didn't we?
We just always played card, so that's a little change for us. Mm. Maybe others have done that differently. Cannon of squadron with strategic move objective tokens assigned to a ship.
That is kind of funny, though.
Who did that?
It'd be kind of funny, like, if you had captured the VIP mission.
I'll take that away from you.
Are you sending your VCXs to yank the VIP?
Oh, but people were talking about taking off their actual, like, tokens.
Yeah.
Or, like, your advanced gunnery
token. Or your movement token. People leave up. Well, you're supposed to keep them on your ship, aren't you? And you're like, no, I'll have that on my ship.
I mean,
no, they weren't.
I guess
I've heard people say,
I guess by the rules it would clarify. But honestly, if you were playing it that way, I take a look at yourself in the mirror.
You're a dick.
Yeah, honestly. If a squadron with snipers engaged and another squadron is at distance 2, can it attack the squadron at distance 2? Answer yes. However, if with snipe is engaged within a squadron with escort, it cannot attack another squadron that lacks escort. Matt doesn't like this.
I don't like it.
Why? I don't understand.
No.
Because I've always, you know, you always play it as if you're engaged with something, you shoot. If you're engaged with a squadron, you shoot what you engage with, unless the squadron has heavy. So I don't like the fact that I can be engaged with a squadron, but also there can be another squadron that I'm not engaged with at distance 2 that I can...
You're right, it overrides one of the basic rules, which is if you're engaged with a squadron, you have to attack the squadron. But I think thematically, the sniper's not you've got longer. It's not you've got longer range, it's that you're harder to pin down, you're able to operate in a volume of space.
Yeah, I don't think it's a terrible rule.
And it doesn't break anything.
No, I don't think it's a terrible rule, and I don't think it's abusable or anything. But I just think, I just thought it's not how I interpreted it initially.
You just have an escort, then you have to shoot the escort.
Yeah.
So Matt doesn't like that one. Ricky doesn't like the next one. Does a squadron with relay need to be close to medium range of the ship that is activating squadrons so that those squadrons can activate?
Which is common sense. No.
Is the ship doing the squadron? Does it have to send the squadron order to the relay ship, which has to be in its range? And then that ship extends the range? Well, you think so, right? Yeah.
But
it's not. It could be anywhere in the field. It could be anywhere in the galaxy. Anywhere in the galaxy.
Yeah.
You tell the lander.
All right, Jendon, move over there.
He does have relay.
Yeah, he has relay. He doesn't have strategic.
You tell the lander, move Harrunner and those ties over there. And
why are you allowing people just to have transports that are just sitting at the edges?
It makes it a bit strong. Yeah.
You're never going to.
It puts the onus on killing the relay stuff.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just kill the relay stuff.
8 health on rebels, 6 on.
Yeah.
But they're not Imperial. That strong. If you have.
They're quite tough. And if you had, like, Jans.
Yeah.
They're not dying.
The next stuff is that I think we've done this order. They've got another Carillion conflict fact.
Oh, yeah, because the first part was the errata, wasn't it?
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, this is a fact, yeah. After constructing your starting 400 point fleet, do players keep any leftover points as resources?
Points?
No. No, so this was one of the ones that was clarified online.
I think people just house rule that you will get to keep them because it just makes sense to get to keep them.
Well, if you...
It was only ever a couple of points left.
It's hard to do because you only have one upgrade. You can't buy all those cheap upgrades. Yeah. Place bases. When it's a rebel player's turn to place rebel present stickers, is he required to record the location of a base and outpost as a pair? No. However, they must plan so half the stickers represent outposts and half bases after they've all been placed. That's fine.
I think we played it that way anyway, didn't we?
Yeah, I think you were, as you were placing them, you were noting if they're an outpost or a base. But how this reads is you can place them all and then say,
You could have done it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly,
it's much the same.
I've only played the campaign once, but I just didn't think we really cared about most of the... We picked some of the locations that had the best.
You guys just went for repairs.
We knew we were going to get hammered. But really, did it make that much difference?
No, you had a base and an outpost.
I never felt like thematically that like we were hunting the rebel base. It was just shitloads of rebel stickers everywhere.
Why bother attacking them?
Because base defenses are hard. Just go for it. Yeah.
We did it to you twice.
Go
so
for
then
the
hit one of our bases
Imperial
once.
Show of force, and then the others are defending because we were always going second. Made no difference.
No.
Scoring battles. What happens to player squadrons if all his ships are destroyed or retreat to hyperspace? The game ends immediately. The player with ships remaining wins. Any of the losing player's squadrons remaining are not destroyed, so then it becomes hard.
That was already in the rules.
Was it?
Yeah, you didn't.
So, pointless clarification.
Yeah.
But I think it made sense to me. If a ship's destroyed during a battle by moving outside the player, does it become scarred? Yes, well, obviously, because it's just destroyed, isn't it? Can a scarred ship recover its discarded defence token or a scarred squadron recover its hull point during a battle by resolving an effect? Yes. However, you can only remove the scar ID token during refit and expand fleets. Fair. Can a ship or squadron permanently lose its veteran token other than being eliminated from the campaign? No. Well, again, that makes sense. When do changes to fleet rosters become public knowledge? This was a bit of a matter of debate for us, wasn't it, in ours? Players are not required to discuss the decisions during refit and expand fleets. At the beginning of the strategy phase, fleet rosters are public knowledge and players can ask to look at the others before declaring assaults and defenders. So we did it slightly differently. We just did it. You find out when you turn up for the game, didn't you?
I thought it was
kind of
idea.
Cool, yeah. But yeah. Less strategic, I guess.
Well, you're not going to know what the other ones have.
No.
Until they jump in.
I think maybe they should have done. They should have maybe enshrined like an extra ability in there where you can have like scouts.
Mm.
So if you control a certain planet with scouts, you can then see all the fleet rosters before you.
Yeah.
I like that.
That would be quite cool.
Maybe we should.
Stick a couple of planets that have no real value.
No, maybe we should homebrew like another CC. Like,
we'll just rewrite it.
Yeah, basically.
Just make it better.
Just put all the rules changes that we want to see.
Yeah.
Well, like, to be fair, it's fluffy and it's fun. So yeah, you've got to play it for fun. It's not like a tournament where you don't know the other players and you've got to be playing by the same rules. Exactly. You've got to be consistent. As long as you all agree and you're having fun.
Yeah.
Like, do it.
Play the fun way.
Exactly.
Silly way.
Yeah.
Can a player voluntarily remove ships or squadrons from his fleet to reduce the value? Yes, however, they get treated as destroyed. You don't recover resource points, and cards with unique names that have been eliminated can't be purchased again. So I'm not sure why you'd want to do that, really.
Unless you had to
kill squadrons because you've got too many squadrons for your ship value.
I like the idea that you could sell, like, there should have been a rule to sell stuff. Though. No, you should have been able to sell like half value back or something, just to add a bit more.
Reboot.
So have more strategy outside.
I guess maybe if you're at 500 points, you've earned a lot of points. Maybe you want to trash one of your transports.
You want to make your list better.
Yeah, refine your list.
Like. Well, that makes sense. That's kind of like for a longer game. I guess it would be better to be able to do that.
So in that case, it is better that you don't get the resources back because otherwise, you get to 500, you just constantly tailor your list.
So every turn, you lose anything left over. That would make sense. Well, that's a shame because you could.
But stuff. Beyond 500, you get some really bad mismatch. it's not even slightly fun games.
Mm-hmm.
Do upgrades that are not equipped and are set aside count as part of that fleet's total value? Yes, whether they're equipped or unequipped.
Oh.
What's the limit on adding squadrons to a fleet? Cannot exceed 1/3, rounded up. You can add additional squadrons as long as the final total doesn't exceed it. That's the way it was on the internet, unofficial, and that's where we were playing it, and that's the fair way, right?
But what happens if you lose something that brings your points down, but your squadrons
didn't
die?
You have to trash squadrons, I think. Gravwell interdiction. If a ship with experimental retrofit moves so it's within distance 1 to 5, and enemy ship that has already discarded its dial to
retreat, I bet this causes a lot of issues for people.
Does that enemy ship still retreat? Yes, it does. All those interdictors that are going.
No. You just got shit. You're already shit, but that works.
I don't think it ever came up in our campaign.
Did anyone have one?
It's still another kick in the teeth for interdictor.
The problem is the interdictor, it needs so many things to be even usable.
Yeah.
And in CC, it's like, well, it'll just die. Just kill it the first week.
That would
be cool.
I mean, it would be a bit powerful, but it would be cool.
Yeah, you just shut down their hyper.
Yeah, it would be really cool.
That makes sense. Why are they taking that away? From the interdictor, it's only purpose.
Like we said on the other podcast, I just like to see change how all the interdictor upgrades work, basically.
Mm.
It's a squeaky table today.
Oh, it is a squeaky table.
Can the second player use skill spaces token to replace a campaign objective card with another campaign objective card or a standard objective card? And they've answered no. It's so you can't replace it with anything. Because it sounds to me they're doing an option. So can you do it with another campaign objective card or can you do it with a standard card? No.
No, it's basically because a campaign objective only...
That's not what the answer should
it's
be.
It's only the, like, that's the, like, is it's that not the a yes, no show of force or the, is that the special assault one? No, it's
the green ones.
It's the green ones when it's, yeah, is it special
planets.
Base defenses and stuff. Yeah, no, I mean, it makes sense.
But no, but is it saying, can you replace it with another campaign or could you replace it with the standard? No. Or is it just saying you can only replace it with one that's in the pool?
You can't use skilled spaces to...
On a green planet one.
Basically.
Or a base defense, then, I guess.
Because to me, it sounds, the way that question's worded, it sounds like it's giving you two options.
Right.
Which option? And they just said no. Like, what?
Yeah. Basically, skilled spaces doesn't work on a,
I just can't
on
bother,
a campaign.
Can't be bothered to debate it. Contested outpost. So the original wording contested outpost says the station does not obstruct attacks. The FAC says it does not obstruct attacks or line of sight for ships or squadrons. So. But if you
we already knew that.
Kind of already implied, because if you go through something, then...
That's silly. If people were arguing that, that's ridiculous.
Fleet ambush. After a player has placed all his ships, he begins placing squadrons on his next deployment turn. The other player continues placing ships till all his ships have been placed, and then he begins placing squadrons. That's how we've always played it, but I guess
it's kind of how it's worded.
Yeah, yeah, it just means you don't have to wait for the other player to finish ships before you do squadrons, no. Which I think is fair because you get an activation advantage. Planetary Ion Cannon, this card's special rule can be used only to affect one enemy ship per round.
Yeah.
Which I think is how we played it. So, yeah, you may choose
I guess if, what was that like, ship. If you had like three ships next to three different tokens, yeah. You'd like, just boom, boom, boom. Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
I like that idea.
I don't know what other people might think. If someone can it's explain crap. To me why it's a good objective, then...
Never seen anyone.
I played with it a couple of times. I played against it, I played with it. It's just terrible. Yes. It's just bad.
Yeah.
It's just bad.
Taking it along and being able to move them along with you, that'd be quite funny.
It is better than nothing, but only just.
It's not those other cars that are far better to take. But I'd like the idea of just taking that mission with like a couple of ECXs and just bringing them all in next to ships. And like, there you go, I get an extra free shot.
Yeah, that might work.
Because the campaign one, you don't discard the token, isn't that right?
We'll get to that in a sec.
But this one you do.
Just the last point on that. If the defending hull zone has no shields, you can choose to resolve the standard critical effect instead of the card's critical effect, which is must choose an exhaust one defense token. So you could just give them a crit if you wanted to.
I've never seen it used. Never played against it.
I've used it.
Could have took outpost and got some points.
Yeah, I wonder if they had if they were like the campaign ones and the token stayed there, if you resolve the token and then your opponent could move the token or something.
That's really cool.
If they could move the tokens away from their ships, it just made that mission.
Awful.
Yeah, really do nothing. Awful. It's a straight match. No mission.
Yeah,
but they're first player.
Except their first
player. Yeah, if they have the strategic and you're on your own cannon, you're like, god damn it.
Yeah, it's not great. And then what other clarifications? So the dangerous territory, you can move objective tokens off or onto obstacles. So that's cool. You can only remove to gain the victory token if it's overlapping the obstacle. So you can't just take it if it's in the middle of space.
No.
If multiple objective tokens are overlapping, only one can be removed.
I can see people probably abuse that.
Yeah, you just put all six on one.
I got all of them now, sorry.
But that is quite cool that you can steal them off other people, because it makes dangerous territory better.
That's another one that you could outright make the mission pointless again.
So do you move all the objective tokens onto the station? And then
camp the station,
and then just fly by the station every turn.
You could just move them off.
Is that how everyone's going
to? We'll just have Janus Light and just sit.
Is that how everyone's going to interpret that now? Because they're like, I can only do it when it's overlapping an obstacle, so I'll just put them all on the station.
If they don't have strategic, though, you just take it off the obstacle and just say like, no, you can't get.
I think it makes it better though, because when I've played Dangerous Territory, it almost always ends up being three tokens each or four tokens for two tokens, which is just not a great objective.
It's not great either way.
But I think it'd be right. You could maybe get 5v1.
If there's going to pick a blue mission, you're going to pick
Sentinel. Could be a funny thing about it, a funny Dodonna objective. If you
make them go over the crew.
Yeah, and then select their crew. But then they're a better blue mission.
I've done that. I've done that before. Put all the asteroids in their thing.
But what's stopping them from just putting an asteroid your side anyway? And then
well, yeah, depends how you can depends how canny they are in the deployment phase.
I wouldn't be canny.
You're second player, so you get to place the first asteroid.
And the third, which is two asteroids on their side.
But there's only two asteroids. Is it two asteroids or three?
Three asteroids.
So you get at least two on that side.
Yeah.
Anyway, you've also got the base defense iron cannon, which is exactly the same clarification as the normal one. So we won't go into that again. Hyperlane raid. First player gains one victory token for each enemy space ship that retreats to hyperspace. You don't gain one for... the second player doesn't gain one for each ship within two range ruler lengths of the first player edge that retreats hyperspace. It's basically saying you can't get into the deployment zone and then hyperspace out and say you got the victory, which is fine. Show of force is similar. If you retreat, the defender retreats all their remaining ships to hyperspace. The remaining stations get treated as destroyed. You can't say, oh, well, we saved them and then we left. Okay, so that's all that. Now we're on to squadrons. Colonel Gendon can resolve his effect if he's not engaged or unable to perform an attack.
Who was arguing that? Effect. That doesn't even...
We always played it like that, but it is worth clarifying because some people were saying you have to have an attack to give up an attack. But we interpreted it like it's fact here because it says instead of attacking. It doesn't say forfeit your attack. It just says,
instead of your attack step,
do something else. Dutch Vander, if he's attacking, the defender does not suffer damage, but another enemy squadron does, such as due to resolving effects such as Biggs.
It's just buff Biggs.
Dutch Vander's effect doesn't toggle the... It's annoying. I mean, that is how it's written.
Biggs needed a boost.
He did need a bigger boost, yeah.
Vaylin Rudor, an enemy squadron engaged with another squadron, cannot perform a counterattack against Vaylin, which is good. As Ben pointed out to us last night, that makes him great against Shara, but he doesn't have any blue dice, so she can just... Scatter. Just scatter is. I guess it's just an attack.
But that already made sense anyway. That was already.
Well, I guess if you flight controller him.
Yeah.
And then hope to luck out.
Yeah, that might work.
Three blacks though. Just I've seen the two A wings. Like, just what are the other ones that just fire blacks? Decimators. I've seen a whole squad of decimators go up against two A wings. The two named ones.
Yeah.
Nothing. Yeah. They lived for pretty much five rounds. Just the two of them pinning down like four or five decimators. You're just like, brace.
So, yeah. Admonition. So again, we've always played it this way, and that's good because it would be super broken if this wasn't the case. A ship equipped with admonition can discard a single defense token while defending. So we always played it as that anyway.
Yeah,
because
I've never seen
it just says
discard
a defense token to cancel one. It doesn't say you may discard any number of defense tokens to cancel that many of the time. So that's fine. So you can only do that once per attack. All fighters follow me. Some controversy here. If the ship with this upgrade equipped is destroyed after resolving this effect, squadrons activated by friendly ships are still affected until the end of the round. Fine.
Yeah.
And that's the same with the others. The next bit, so badly written. This effect increases the speed of squadrons by an additional one that are activated by a ship with independence equipped.
Someone online has said that you can just be the independence ship, not use the special ability.
No, Ben said it to us last night.
Yeah.
But,
I can't. So you still have to abide by the
it's
rules of independence.
I said you can be because it says it doesn't say activated by the independence ability. So independence ability is change your speed to 4, but you can't attack. Clearly, what this means to say is you get an additional 1, so you change your speed to 4, and then it goes up to 5 if you do independence.
Yeah.
But the way it's written is all fighters follow me gives you +1, and if you have independence, you get another +1, so you get up to speed 4, and you can still attack. If you're
it
like
doesn't
a
say that. It doesn't even it say doesn't that, and you would that. Still go by it.
Yeah, but that's the way it can be interpreted. Clearly, that's not the spirit of it. But
that isn't even... like, if you have independence, you get an additional 1 speed. It doesn't even mention anywhere about... you can still attack. You still... Yeah. Independence says you cannot attack.
No, but it only says if you activate using the ability on independence, which is optional ability.
Yeah.
The ability on independence
just
is
having independence and does not grant one to every corner.
That's what this says, then. That's what this says.
That's the way it's worded.
What it should say...
Anyone plays that rule,
it should say, this increases the speed of a squadron that are activated by a ship with the independence ability, by the ability on the independence card. But yeah, like you say, I mean, just don't play it that way, because
T.O.
Just don't do it. Entrapment formation is the same as the previous one. Just if you activate it and die, it still affects.
Yeah.
Fire control teams, as you notice, Ricky,
pointless now.
Does nothing. Yeah, it was shit before, but honestly.
What does this do now?
It doesn't do anything. It's literally nothing.
If you have an overload pulse?
If you had an overload pulse and an APT, you could do both.
But there's no ship can have that, is there?
No.
Is there a ship with a black and a blue? There's no crit. What else? The only crit effect on Fred is to do 2 crits, which then outright it cancels that one.
It's just so bad. It's
this isn't going to be team slot as well. And
I hope they are after it again and just say, you know what, guys?
Rip this card up because you're never going to play it.
Could you use it on an MC30? Could you lose APTs and then do the red crit? The XI9s are not. Is it XX9s?
Yeah, you can probably do XX9s and APTs.
After APTs?
You might
but then it says you're applying 2 crits to the ship. You've already... APTs comes first, then you would add 2 crits. Yeah.
So the change they've made, just to clarify what we're talking about, if a ship with this card equipped resolves both APT critical effect and standard critical effect, only the damage card dealt by resolving APT is dealt face up. So you don't even get the basic critical effect.
You just outright made that card...
Pointless.
Flight controllers, they clarified it also affects snipe, which I think is how we would have read it, and that's cool. I like that. I like flight controllers. It's a good counter to anti-fighter meta and flight controllers.
I mean, I've
not used enough, I think.
I wouldn't have interpreted it like that for snipe, sorry.
Well, you seem to have something against snipe.
No,
I don't know why.
Because it just says the anti-squadron armament, and the anti-squadron armament is independent of the snipe value.
Yeah, as it's written.
I just assumed that it didn't.
So we have to assume that the Imperial ship that adds a dice as well adds to snipe?
Yeah.
Because it does have...
Yeah, if we're going to assume that... Howlrunner.
Although,
it doesn't have Swarm, does it?
I thought it does.
Does Sailor have Swarm? Maybe. Probably. You might be right.
Don't know. Can't remember.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever used it, so it's not affected me, but I think it's cool that they got Snipe.
I'm not sure why they had to do something for veteran gunners.
I know the veteran gunners one is pretty good, actually.
Is that next?
Yeah.
No, I think it's...
Oh, no, that's Rican. For the game. We'll start.
If the ship that General Rican is equipped to leaves the play area, ship or squadron already affected by this Sailor ability
does have Swarm.
Remains awesome. In the play area until the end of the status phase.
Meh.
What does that even mean? Was that
that's basically as we thought it was anyway.
Yeah.
But so if Rican flies off the board, his bonus still counts for that round?
Yeah.
Somehow?
Yeah.
Okay. Really? Okay.
Yeah, because it says leaves the play area.
But what, Rican wouldn't be dead anyway if you killed Rican that round. He'd still
be
alive.
You can't because you take the ship off immediately. When you go off the table, you wouldn't if he dies in play, but that's the problem. That's why they need
to fly off the edge.
Makes Rican even better. But
yeah.
If you fly Rican off the edge, then yeah, you fucked up.
Yeah. You really fucked up.
The thing is, in a game that uses a 6x3 table,
I know.
The amount of people flying off the edge is quite low.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen it happen, but it's still quite low.
Just by the skin of a team, like by millimeter, but not.
Here comes the controversy. Another one. Rapid Launch Bay.
Yes!
When a ship with this card equipped resolves a squadron command, it can place its set aside squadrons up to the number it would activate during that squadron command. After the squadrons are placed, they can be activated one at a time as part of that squadron command, but cannot move. So I think that's fairly clear. What it's saying is, it's the best of both worlds. You can dump them down and leave them if you want, because they can be activated.
Up to the number of your value, yep. You put down four if you've got MCAE.
Yep. So you can dump them down.
You could leave them
for
Yavaris.
And you can leave them for someone else to do. Or you can shoot them if you want to.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So you get the best of both of us, because we weren't sure what it was before.
I can now see what people are...
And you don't have to spend two activations. You don't have to spend one to put them down and one to shoot them. You can just do the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I like it. I think it makes it better.
I think I see what people are complaining about then. So what people are probably saying is then, I can then activate other ships instead of the ones that just deployed.
Other squadrons.
Because I can't see why you couldn't.
No.
You're still using your squadron value. Nothing's... You can activate them. It's not... It doesn't mean you have to activate those ones.
Yeah.
So they,
maybe.
So there's the implication that you're saying, because they say they can be activated, you're saying that it doesn't count as part of... It's just as part of the...
It's just like engine text is part of your move. You put down those four squadrons, you don't have to activate them. But then I go and activate these other four that are alongside.
It's a free.
Spit out four squadrons and activate four
others
elsewhere.
Yeah. I don't see why.
It's
not a big deal.
I think it's clearly not meant to be that, because the way the intention is supposed to be.
They come screaming out and just blow everything up.
You can place the ones that it's going to act that it would activate, because the number it
we
would
need
activate.
An FAQ.
It's FAQ.
I can't believe
FAQ.
They got it wrong.
I like the way it's done though. I like the fact they're not activated when they come out. That's really cool.
Yeah, it gives you the flexibility. Shields to maximum. If the ship with this upgrade is destroyed, friendly ships still get it. And then veteran gunners.
So what's the veteran gunner one?
While a ship equipped with this card is attacking, which is probably no ships ever because veteran gunners is terrible.
Yeah, no one uses
it. It can spend accuracy icons before removing this effect.
Yeah.
These dice are not re-rolled. So
what?
Removed from the attack pool and not re-rolled.
So you spend the accuracy and then use it to get another accuracy.
No, you remove them from the attack pool. But you basically, if you roll your dice pool and you get a couple of accuracies, you go, right, I'll use these accuracies and then I can re-roll, because it says re-roll all your dice. All your dice
in
your
pool.
You remove them from the pool and you spend
them. Because accuracies don't get removed from the pool to spend them, I don't think, in the actual
rules.
You just nominate the dice.
Right, yeah.
So you remove
it makes veteran gunners, makes a loophole that would have made veteran gunners
really
better.
I
wouldn't go that far, Ricky, and say, okay, it closes that time.
I'd say it's better. Yeah, no, it's good.
Fairer.
It's good that they've clarified this. Yeah. But if for some reason you're running veteran gunners, you roll your dice, you get a few accuracies, you can spend your accuracies.
So they're all
good.
And then re-roll.
So it's a double-edged sword, because you don't have to re-roll the accuracies.
Yeah,
you can keep the good results.
Yeah, you keep your good results.
I see what you're saying.
So if you want to shoot a flotilla and you roll everything, you get an accuracy.
But
yeah,
but fuck all else.
They're gone, they're spent, and then you re-roll the rest.
But let's be honest, you're going to have something else in this slot here.
Yeah,
yeah, which is
flight
it,
controllers
yeah,
or gunnery teams or ordnance experts, and there's not much.
Oh, no, just the other one, yeah.
Fine.
Plenty of other cards to pick than that.
So that's everything.
That's everything on the FAQ. Any thoughts from you guys?
Pretty good. Some good clarifications there.
I think that was a big waste of waiting. Well, that independence thing is like just poor wording.
Yeah.
After waiting that long for launch bays and they made a mess of it.
And apparently there's like a 12-page thread on the forums already.
Yeah, so this is what, like 14 hours after the FAQ drop?
Yeah.
And there's 12... probably more than 12 pages on the forum.
I don't see the problem with being able to activate other squadrons instead of those four.
Anyway,
whatever number you
should. Should we just move on before we get angry at each other?
Relay is the one I'm really angry at.
I think it's worth dwelling on. Yeah, slagging off FFG's playtesting department.
They should ask us to playtest, is what we're saying.
We could all sign up to playtest.
We should do that.
Somebody should.
Yeah.
Because... I can see what they've intended, but they probably wrote it and then they ran it past the playtest and the playtest is like, that's what you meant. But they needed somebody independent who didn't know what they were intending to poke holes in it. And
whoever these people on the forums are that really argue it, just send it to them first.
But you're
and
saying
they'll pick it.
You're saying, Ricky, you think it's fine to be able to dump them and activate other squads.
I didn't see the problem.
I think it's not too powerful.
You know, in Don't Games Workshop, before they release an FAQ, they like release a draft FAQ.
They started doing that.
And then everyone comes out of hiding to say,
they
should be written like this. I feel like maybe FFG should.
Well, they could do that. They could then. There's nothing saying they couldn't change their FAQ now.
No, there's nothing saying that they couldn't change their FAQ now. But essentially, if you went to a tournament tomorrow, you'd have to abide by that.
Yes.
So perhaps they should do
a draft a couple of weeks before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a good idea. I agree.
Just to clear up some of these things that come out of the woodwork.
I still don't know why Relay is so broken that way.
It's like that. Yeah.
I was really hoping for it to be...
powerful.
To be now.
I mean, because I guess what they think is the balancing factor is that you have a limit what you can do, so you can't do a super powerful one. You have to do it piecemeal.
Yeah.
You can do one or two activations at a time. But yeah, still not...
Do you think we'll see some Yavaris lists with VCXs? And transports, and then just all sit on the back row.
They already are now.
We already see those lists.
Yeah. No, do you think they'll be strong?
It doesn't work as well with VCXs because you only get one relay.
Because you need enough to activate itself. 30, yeah.
Well, they say 45 points of VCXs to do a full Yavaris.
Yeah.
That's a lot of points of bombers you could have instead.
Yeah.
I'd rather just get Yavaris up there and have the extra bombers.
Yeah.
That's like almost three extra Skurks, or it is three B-Wings.
Right, should we move on to upgrades?
Okay. Right, yes, so let's talk about upgrades. So today we're going to be talking about the faction-specific upgrades. So who plays? You play Rebels mostly, Ricky, right?
I do.
Do you want to read out all the Rebel ones?
All the Rebels?
All of them.
Well, not all of them in one go, but you can do the reading for the Rebels.
Oh, right.
We'll go for the ones that we picked, yeah.
Right. And then you can just announce it. Like, so that we read the cards so that everybody's familiar with what the text is, and then we'll talk about why we think it's good.
Exactly.
So we'll start with Admirals.
Admirals.
So the top three I picked.
Rebel Admirals.
Rebel Admirals.
We kind of all agree as well. We kind of think that.
Yeah, so this is kind of our top three. Recon may be top, and then the others.
Recon's definitely. No, I don't know. I used to like really be up.
So are we doing it in ascending or descending order?
Should we just say there's no particular order?
other than Recon's top. So we've got General Recon. Do you want to read that one out?
When a friendly ship or a friendly unique squadron is destroyed, it remains in the play area and is treated as if it was not destroyed until the end of the status phase.
Just so good, right? Just really, really powerful.
You
because
are indestructible for a whole round.
Yeah. So it means bumps, you can just sit in the front of stuff and restrict ships.
Double engine tech, bump, whatever.
Zombie X-Wings.
Yeah, zombie X-Wings.
So the escort, you have to still attack the escort even though it's dead already.
You can zombie Yavaris your heart out and bomb the crap out of everyone.
I mean, the main reason it's powerful is because you alternate, the nature of the game, you alternate activations and ships. If you can kill something before it activates, you take a whole activation
you don't get
turn away. But you don't get to do that with Recon.
No.
Yeah.
You don't get to save stuff. By going, oh, well, he's got a ship that's only on one heavy. I can kill it before. No, because it doesn't matter. It's still going to be there.
Yeah.
And it can still bump. If it's dead already, it can still bump into you and take you down with it.
It's just
your only option is to kill Recon as quick as possible. Yeah.
But that's never going to be much of an option because he's always sat at the back,
yeah,
or on his like private yacht in the corner.
Yeah.
He's
relaying signals across the galaxy.
So very good. And worth throwing out an alternative school of thought, which Matt Kirk often puts out. He says, "Oh, any ship that's compensating for you losing stuff, I'm not interested in any upgrade. Not interested because I bank on not losing anything. I mean, I can kind of see where he's coming from, but at the same time, it's nonsense because you're going to lose stuff in Armada unless you're playing a real mismatch.
Yeah,
you're going to lose stuff.
It's a good beginner's card, to be fair, though. It does really help with beginners.
The fact that it lets you get your attack in, even if you're dead. And you can chuck something cheap and crap in that doesn't lose you many points. And you can just get so much more damage out of it.
And it changes because you can bump the mindset of your opponent.
It's kind of purely was for like the Varus as well.
Yeah. And zombie X-Wing thing, literally, it actually physically stops damage that you're taking.
Yeah.
It just physically stops it because that X-Wing would have died and all the rest of the anti-fighter is coming into your vulnerable stuff. No, it's all going into that.
Keep on shooting the escort.
It's just I think he's definitely number one by quite some way.
It only works really for one list though. I've not really seen him work well.
Bump list.
Okay, and so
any bump list. Any rebel list, it works.
It worked well with the early Yavaris list because you had to put Yavaris right out there into the battle. But now you don't need to do that so much with it.
Yeah,
really. To be honest, I haven't played with him for a while.
I've not played with him for a while. Not since
you haven't played with him or Yavaris for ages.
No.
To be fair.
Tried to move away.
We were ripping into you. So now we need to start ripping into you about Defiance, I think.
That's not general.
Just don't like losing. Cool.
So, yeah, I think he goes in any list, any rebel list, because he gives you that activation thing where you don't lose any activation.
So should we second and third before we...
Dodonna, he's cheap and he's great.
So Recon was 30 points, Dodonna is 20.
Yes, Dodonna is 20. So before an enemy ship is dealt a face-up damage card, look at the top four cards of the damage deck, place one on the top of the deck and discard the others. We kind of play it slightly differently, just hand out the four, but yeah, you could do it that way.
But
you're not going to just like, I'll put it back. You just hand it to
him. No, I did play one guy who was putting the back.
Really?
Yeah. And early on, so we didn't stand. And I was going, I'm getting the same few every time here. Like, what's going on? And I asked him, he said, yeah, I'm putting them.
No, just the one. Just the one.
Yeah. I mean, he's 20 points, right? So he's
20 points. You kind of use him when you want.
He's amazing for bombers because he makes their stuff land. He makes their crits really painful. And even stuff like asteroids, like landing on an asteroid or...
Yeah, picking the crit.
Just with APTs, he's just... With bomber heavy lists.
It's going to be... It's just a great all-round card. Like, if you don't want to use any of the others and you want lots of points to spend on your ships...
Yeah, he helps the bids, doesn't he?
You're going to get the bonus of his ability. Yeah.
That extra 10 points can make a big difference with the title or with a bit on the bid. And then we've got Akbar number...
Yeah, before the friendly ship's attack step, it may choose to attack from only its left or right hull zones this round. If it does, it may add two red dice to the attack pool when attacking a ship.
And he is?
He is 38 points, which is massive. But he adds two red dice, which
is quite massive.
The reason I think he used to be the man.
He did.
But, or the fish.
He's dropped out of the
fish man. I think now you have to build a list for him because of the prevalence of transports that can't get any ability from him because of all the extra activations they provide.
Yeah.
And like he's not that great with Corvettes. He's all right on Corvettes. I think you have to build a list around him a bit more. So
which
maybe
I
didn't place higher. Yeah, I mean, with Home 1 and Defiance, he's amazing.
Around the dice.
He used to be really good with assault frigates, but you
don't see many of them at all.
Yeah, I tried playing with him with assault frigates recently, and it's just, I don't know, red dice are so fickle.
Yeah.
Like, you have to chuck a lot of them, but...
You need Home 1.
You need leading shots, you need something.
You need leading shots, you need that blue. Yeah,
he is a bit, he's literally a bit dicey.
I guess he's a bit
spiky
there.
On the reds.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so he's in our list, but we
rebels have such massive side arcs on some ships that like his reach is.
I mean, it obviously bounces out over time, and like better players, like Ben will use Akbar very well, with like his AF2 list that he ran forever. But that's because he was just good at lining up the arcs and making sure.
Well, he also had loads of bombers. He had it was a good round list.
Yeah, the combined arms sort of thing.
I guess as well, like prevalence of admonition as well. Akbar's terrible with admonition because you want a double arc.
Yeah.
He shuts that down because you can only do the side.
I'd say that I've had Akbar on my list, and I've played games that you just use two arcs instead. You just don't make use of it.
Well, that's the thing, he's optional, which is
good. The optional is nice.
But the fact that he's there, the threat, the reason you've done that, Ricky, is because the threat's so bad of going in the side arc. People are going the side arc, they go in the front and the back.
Like, Akbar and Regan, they change how your opponent think and play a lot.
And then my kind of wild card for the underused guy, I put as Kraken.
Yeah, I don't think he's underused. I think he's good. I think he's a good general.
Read him out, Ricky.
So he's 26 points. When a friendly small or medium ship is defending against a ship, if the defender is at speed 3 or higher, the attack is treated as obstructed. Yeah. So that's a one less dice, which is quite nice.
Only on ships. It'd be broken if it was fighters as well.
Oh, yeah.
And I think with transports, speed 3, corvettes, speed 4, MC-30, speed 4, assault frigate, speed 3.
Pelter.
Yeah. I think he's...
Why make the pelter?
Does that mean he's countered by the corvette card, right?
Jaina's Light,
Jaina's Light counters him completely.
Yeah. That's one thing, though.
Just one, and it's not a lot of dice, really. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah, he's just good because over the, especially if you're attacking them at long range, the corvettes, they've got all the evades and they're taking dice off all the time with the evades. You have to chip away at them, and every shot is a dice.
And flotillas as well. Like if people are chucking a couple of red dice at you at long range, and take off another red dice, it's like another chance that they won't have an accuracy.
And even if they roll at one accuracy or two, they don't have enough damage to take a shield off. Ooh,
yeah, if you're like, ooh, I'll evade that one.
Yeah, it's like, I think he's really good, Kraken. But I did like, but again, you have to build a list around him.
Yeah, I think Mon Mothma should be listed said as well. She used to be good.
But I think you have to really build the list.
You have to build the list around every. Like, you should pick your general.
Well, Rekin, you don't.
Yeah.
The Donna, you don't. No.
I think Mon Mothma, she used to be.
Great with MC-30s.
Yeah, yeah, she's pretty very much. Good with MC-30s. Yeah. I don't think she kind of changes the way that your opponent plays necessarily, though.
Unless they've got a Rhyming Ball.
Yeah, that's the only.
Got to get in close. But.
Yeah, so Mon Mothma's 30, and she.
Yeah, when a friendly ship resolves the evade token effect, it can cancel one die at medium range or reroll one die at close range.
So that's not in addition to the effect, like some people tried to claim originally. No. They fact it.
Oh, wow.
So, it just means you get to. You get
it just
your
adjusts
shifted,
everything. Right. Yeah.
So that's admirals. Officers.
Officers.
I think we all agreed the top one. Torrenfar.
Yeah.
By far. When she came out, she was pretty much in every list. By far. She's gone down a bit on people's lists. She's not used as much now, but she's still a great card.
Yeah. So she is 7 points.
She has 7 points. While another friendly ship or squadron at distance 1 to 3 is attacking, it may reroll one blue die.
So it's not the ship that you're on.
No, another, yeah.
But if you think how much stuff has blue die, most AA is blue in Rebels.
Pretty much most shots.
All AA fighter apart from Zs.
Yeah, no Zs. No use for it.
There's quite a lot of bombers that have blue. Or blue and black.
B-Wings. B-Wings make use. Skurks make use of her.
And all counter stuff is blue as well.
And counter is always blue.
Yeah.
Counter no matter
so,
what.
So, like, every time you're doing it, you get to reroll one die.
Reroll is super powerful. It's if you've got a lot of squadrons, powerful. You want to run fire.
It's... I think it's just really, really good. And obviously, Squadrons is a good one, but, you know, it works on ships
I've never
as well.
Seen a really... Yeah, she's good to have on a ship.
For AA and stuff.
Yeah.
AA.
How much effect... If you just sweep an arc with AA and there's like 4, 5, 6 fighters in it, you're increasing the amount of hits you put out by
you are.
A lot.
Yeah.
She's just a great card.
She's the best by
Mara. She's the best. Yeah.
The next two I had, which again, not really sure about the order, I had Ramus... Antilles.
Ramus is 7 points. When you reveal a command, you may gain one matching command token without spending the command dial. The great card again was more great back in the day.
It's just really versatile. Yeah. And I like him for stuff with engine techs because you can take a nav every other order.
Yeah.
That's true. Still, I've seen him
engineering, less. Engineering, he just tanks you up for engineering, spam engineering.
Maybe it's just our meta we play at Bristol, but it's like.
I think it seems to me that Armada is super highly, super variable with metas. You see some like weird lists coming out of different,
different areas,
which you don't see in like X-Wing or anything that much.
Everyone just uses the same list.
Everyone like because of the wide number of points in Armada, there can be so many little tweaks here and there.
And there's a lot of good stuff. Like we pick out stuff that's very good, but there's a lot of different combos and good stuff that's good. And because also because the meta is varied, that keeps it varied, if you see what I mean, because you don't have to play a certain list to do well necessarily.
So. Yeah, and we were saying the other evening, like we don't seem to play very meta lists.
We just like to try new stuff.
We play often. Like if we just keep playing the same lists. Like
snowflake lists. We always want to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need to change my list because I played it a lot, but I do want to play it.
Iteratively. We change it iteratively though by playing the
game. I've changed it since my last game with you, actually.
Yeah.
I won't go into detail of what I've done, but we'll have to test. I think you were right with what you did, but we'll see.
So yeah, Ramus. I just think he's
great card.
He's very good on. Big ships, especially big ships have come down. He's not so good. He's not so worth it.
All of the rebel ones are great for some purpose, but except then, for Major Durlin.
Yeah, the next he's just overpriced, Major Durlin, isn't he? The next one I had is Ahsoka Tano.
Yes.
Who I should make a quick point about last episode. Last episode, we were talking about the Wave 6 ships. Cham Syndulla's coming out, and I was saying it was her dad, but obviously it's not. It's Hera Syndulla's dad, obviously. I just wanted to correct myself there in case anybody else. I listened to the podcast recording back and I was like, why am I saying that? Like, Cham Syndulla is Ahsoka Tano's dad. Obviously not. I think I was just clearly getting the wrong.
Spamming the wrong name.
He'd
have sorted you.
Ben would have corrected
the hate mail we got for that one. Yeah.
During the activation of a friendly ship at distance 1-5, you may exhaust this card to discard one command token from that ship. If you do, that ship may gain one command token of any type. Now, for 2 points, I use her pretty much in every list. She's so useful.
You have to get your head around, it a bit because it's not intuitive, right? Because
you exhaust her and another friendly
ship. But she's on a ship and something.
The ship she's on or any ship around her.
Okay,
you can change the token. So if you've got a token that's of no use to you and you need something better, boom, you got it.
But you can also do it on another ship as well. Another ship can activate, and it can change its token.
It can. It's just a friendly ship.
I use this a lot when I was like, because I do a lot of repair commands, and I've always got repair tokens for something. But I want an engine tech. Got it.
Well, she came with the Phoenix Home, and she was basically there so that you could always have that token, that type of token you needed.
For your fleet command thing.
Yeah. Although you'd have to do it before the next round. Otherwise.
But she just goes on.
No, well, you spend your nav token at the start of the ship phase.
But no, you spend it before.
Right. You'd
have to do this the turn before.
Essentially. But you spend your nav token to do that boost, and then you activate and you, whatever order you do, but you change one of your other things to a nav token, and then you... Spend your nav token.
I don't know if you could do it that way. Probably could. Not sure. But yeah, she's good. You want her if you can spare 2 points, which is most of the time.
That's the major thing. She's 2 points.
Take her. She will.
And you can put her on. Help. She just gives ships massive utility.
Yeah.
Like big ships, especially, or medium ships.
Every ship.
So my wild card didn't quite make the cut, but it's still good. It's Lando. But like you said, Ricky, Lando, you could argue
he's very specific.
Good as well. He is really good.
Lando's amazing.
Lando is good, but he's like a one-time use. So I should say, while defending, during the spend defense token step, you may discard this card to force the attacker to reroll one or more dice of your choice.
Four points.
It's just
a
reroll of everything.
Because you can do it after they've done their
admonition
thing. They can't affect their dice.
No.
I think he's just really, really good.
He is good.
The number of times you might get you think, oh, well, it only saves me a few damage, but if that damage leads to you being killed before you get away, that's a huge amount of points.
I've seen him save people's lives many times.
He's just good.
What a hero, Lando. What a hero.
Leia's good, but...
Leia is really good at the moment as well, I think.
Better when Slicer was more prevalent. But
yeah, so. True. And Adar's pretty good in that. In that particular
Adar Talon's very specific, but again, we won't go into these ones.
Anyway, cool.
You've got the ones that are really good. Okay. If you're a beginner, make use of those ones first.
Taranfa. Do we know what does Taranfa come? I mean, she came in transports.
She.
Is she on the Liberty?
I think she was to Liberty.
Or is she on the transports? Oh, she might be transport.
Yeah, she's transport.
Oh, yeah.
Three
yeah.
of her.
Right. She's on the transport.
So you probably own a transport. You definitely own a transport. If you don't own a transport,
we haven't
you
mentioned
buy one.
What they come in, but I guess if you're buying the thing with the faction specific ones is you're buying those ships anyway.
Yeah,
so
you're
gonna
have.
You're gonna have them.
It's a problem when you have to buy your other size.
And there's no real need to mention what ships the title's coming.
No, I guess not.
Cool. Should we go on to the titles?
So I think we had another clear number one here.
I don't know why.
I think Admonition is clearly number one.
Oh, that's controversial.
I think because Admonition goes in so many lists. Yavaris is good, but...
We'll start with that one. So... Admonition, when defending, during the spend defense token step, you may discard a defense token to cancel one attack. So one defense token can be spent for one dice
discarded.
Attack. Oh, yeah, and it's discarded. Matt played discarded. It spent the other day.
Not spent, discarded.
Sorry, Christian.
Yeah, you cheater.
Eight points. And obviously, we're talking about the MC30 frigate here.
I hadn't
used it for a while. I hadn't played against it for a while, and for some reason, I had in my mind that it was.
But what you can do, so let's just run through some of the things you can do with it. You can spend the defense token to get the defense
and
effect,
then you can
and then discard
it
for the admonition effect.
Very strong,
and obviously, your evades when you're in close are useless, so you might just want to bin those off.
Pretty much,
but
they're always first to go, aren't they? Because they just serve no purpose.
Yeah, yeah. This tile, it just makes your defense tokens always useful against everything because you cannot stop this effect. You can't accuracy it. Also, it makes ammunition really good against bombers because normally defense tokens are crap against bombers, but bombers are generally relying on one die to do their damage.
Yeah.
A black hit. No, get rid of your crit.
It's a costly way, but it is.
And the other reason it's amazing is if someone APTs you and they got one crit, no, you didn't.
It's
get
gone.
Rid of that die. You get rid of their crit effect. You can pick the die that you get rid of. It's just insanely good admonition.
At the cost of your defense.
Alongside currently, having Lando and Blastors, just makes admonition.
But maybe not
survivable.
Lando, you could go with the other one that lets you get your token back.
Weylix.
Yeah.
Well, Weylix was like the old answer. I think Lando is the best shout, just
because
that one time that you get shot by...
because admonition can only do one die.
The one time you get shot by Defiance, who locked up all your tokens and puts 20 damage on you, you're like...
Don't think so. Let's re-roll all those doubles.
Yeah.
I'd like to say a close second, but I think it's still very, very good. Yavaris,
of course. Wherever
Ricky,
I've got it in
Ricky
my list.
Hero worships this card.
It's funny because when
I haven't used it in ages. Come on.
But you still love it.
I do love it.
Read it out in case anybody doesn't know what it does.
So each squadron you activate can attack twice if it does not move.
When I was a new player, I was like, but I want to move. Like, how will this be strong?
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, right.
The thing that makes it so good is because you have some rebel fighters that have two dice
bombers.
Or they have like a crazy ability effect, like Luke's
shooting through.
And now with all
the Nim stealing the tokens.
Yes.
Stealing the defense tokens.
That combined with Torrent Fire and bomber commands. Yeah, it's all horrible.
And with the fighter control teams, it just becomes excellent.
If you're taking
shift them into range of something without having to activate them. So then you can activate them and they can move twice. With relay, it becomes even more ridiculous because you can move your virus away and still do it through the relay stuff.
And
it's just insanely good.
If your rebel squad takes bombers, you probably want your virus.
And not just for bombers, but also you've got really good, powerful rebel squadron stuff like Wedge. Who does 6 dice against activated squadrons?
He does, yeah. That's true.
Do him
as well.
Twice. He can just kill anything from scratch.
Any X-Wing is going to be able to shoot twice. It's super powerful.
And then you've got Dutch's effect, which deals damage if you're activated. Which activates you.
Them.
Yes, you can activate two
it's
of
like
their powerful squadrons.
But more useful.
Just unbelievably good, Yavaris. And then if you can, obviously you can get up to 3 with a token. 3 squadron activations.
So you can really get your value out of your bombers, because they are expensive on Rebels. You
super
need
good.
To make them a... their price.
We had a bit of debate over the third. It's kind of, for me, it's between Bright Hope and Defiance.
Yeah.
But
Bright Hope's
what
one
you guys
of those,
think on that?
I agree, Bright Hope is in every list that has a transport.
Why would you not take it?
It's 2 points, Bright Hope is.
Yeah.
Well, defending against an attack that does not target your rear hull zone Before you suffer damage, reduce the total by one damage, which is
amazing.
Life-saving on
against bombers is ridiculous, yeah. Right?
Yeah. It's indestructible against bombers pretty much from the front or side. It's just in there because it is so useful. I don't say it's a... It
for
is a great
points.
Card.
For 2
but
points.
It's just amazing.
I agree. I think
it's like Derlin. Derlin is 7 points and you have to exhaust him. Right,
Hope
is 2
Hope
points.
Is 3.
But not from the rear, but then...
True.
It just makes it so indestructible to fighters. And the thing as well is you've got enough crap to get through with the flotilla. You've got to get through the scatter. Yeah. You've got to get through the evade. And then it's like sometimes as well, you're taking 2 shots. Are you losing 1 damage off each of those 2 shots? It might bump it up to 3 shots to kill it.
I might, for fun, just make a Derlin Bright Hope. Like... jamming field shit. Just send it out there with all the bombers.
Oh, that would be amazing.
It would still get one-shotted, however, by the other one, which is Defiance.
It'd still be one-shotted, yeah.
Read that.
So, while attacking a ship that has already activated this round, add 1 die of any colour to your attack pool.
So this is 5 points.
5 points on an MC-80.
And the fact wording on this, or the clarification, is not range dependent. So if you're attacking
range
long range, you can add a black.
And you can do it on both attacks at
or
different arcs.
Or blue if you have leading shots, which is good.
Which is
blue
good
is
shot.
The tends to be them. Yeah. At long range, you want to add a blue if you're a new player.
I think Defiance is phenomenal because the side arc of an MC-80 is nasty at the best of times.
And it's a lot of dice.
It's massive, yeah.
So even if you don't have Akbar and you've got 3 reds and you've chucked in a blue... You've just leading shot at it long range. Great.
You're stacking the damage up.
At close range, you're chucking a black when you've got 3 reds, 3
and
blue.
You're probably knocking their brace or you're knocking their white. You're just chucking an extra 2 damage in.
That you can re-roll because you've got leading shots.
For 5 points.
That's great.
All right. Does anybody have any other honourable mentions or wild cards that they think? Maybe Gallant Haven.
There's cards that I would love to use and make work, but they're just
Foresight,
not...
I guess, with Mon Mothma on the MC-30.
Foresight lets you get an additional effect to
for an evade token.
For an evade, and it lets you move
an additional redirect.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. You got
Home
to be far
one
away
lets you add.
Foresight,
though.
Yeah, or play Mothma. Yeah.
Home one lets you get an accuracy at range 5.
You have to really build a list around Home one, but it is very powerful.
But the problem with
expensive.
Home one was that it's another friendly ship.
So
Home one can't Home one itself.
It is a shame
and it's
going to
be 130 points in the list.
So
you haven't got lots left to
play with them.
Yeah.
Salvation's great as well.
So maybe we should just stop naming every ship.
Yeah.
I think those 4 are the top.
They're the
Abomination, Yavaris, Defiance, Bright Hope would be my my set. All right. So in summary for Rebels then, before we move on to Imperials, I actually think Rebels have a good spread of stuff. There's a lot of competitive,
a lot
to choose from. There's a lot of different stuff that's good. There are some real standouts, but actually there's maybe not a huge gulf. I overestimated the gulf between Admonition and everything else just because it's so good, but even the other ones are still really, really good. I just think everything in Rebels, you've got a tier one of about 2 or 3 good ones, and then you've got a tier 2 which isn't that far behind of another 2 or 3 good ones, so there's plenty to choose from. Imperials has a very different profile for the Imperial upgrades.
There's not much.
So on the Admirals, there's only one, right, who's the best, and then everybody else.
Lord Vader.
Admiral Motti.
Okay.
Motti's got scores.
Admiral Motti. So he comes in at 24 points as an Imperial Admiral. The whole value of each friendly ship is increased according to its size class. For a small ship, 1, medium ship, 2, and a large ship, 3. So just a blanket boost of hull across your fleet, which is pretty useful.
Yeah. And he's cheap.
Yeah, it just makes everything more survival.
You don't have to do anything to get it. You just put him on a ship.
No,
You don't have to trigger anything. You don't have to do an order. You don't have to spend any damage.
He's basically the Imperial version of Rican.
Kind of.
He makes everything more survivable.
Yeah.
Or
3-ish hull points on ISD is massive.
It's a lot. Yeah.
But even the one on Gazantes and stuff, it's harder to bump. The number of times on Rebel things, I've gone down to 1 damage. I've taken 3 damage and I've got 1 left and they bump me to kill me. Can't do it on the Gazantes with Motti.
Yeah.
He just gives them that extra, making Demolisher 6 hull, that's like an assault frigate.
Yeah.
Like, he just gives you that extra, really does give you all those damage cards.
Cool.
He is the all-rounder.
no arguments there. So I had the next sort of tier. I kind of had Jurgerod as the next Jurgerod. One. Yeah. And then below that, I had a kind of tier of Ozzel, Vader and Screed.
Yeah, makes sense.
So it's difficult to do a top three in this case.
So Jurgerod, during a friendly ship's descending course step, it may suffer one damage to change the yaw value. First yaw value of its current speed to 2 until the end of its activation for 23 points. Which has seen a lot of play at the moment with like ISDs and kind of VSDs.
Yeah.
Just getting that front arc in the right place is so very useful.
When this card was spoiled, everybody thought, oh, it's the saviour for the VSD because now the VSD is manoeuvre.
And everyone's tried it. VSD,
but it's still only like, speed 2.
Yeah.
I like it. I've done it a lot with ISDs. I love that because getting that double arc or getting your double arc, getting your gunnery team front arc where it's got a great position. For one, and the damage, you can just chuck it on a shield at the back. Chuck it on your offside, whatever you're not facing
like
the
enemy. One damage isn't it?
It's not a damage card, it's just a point for shield. Demolisher is crazy. Like Ryan was using at the Q1. Like you get that, you get two. If you nav with Demolisher, you get two clicks at first with Jurgerod.
Yeah.
One middle and one at the end, but you get an extra one, so you have two middle and one at the end.
You
and
just then you swing
can,
around.
And then you can engine text for another two.
Further.
So you can effectively just four-speed manoeuvre with 7 out of 8 clicks with Demolisher in any combination of directions. The amount of different combinations of where you can put your double arc, where you can put the arc you need for your after-move activation is just almost endless. It takes people by surprise. It's almost endless. And even with Architens, he comes with Architens. Yeah. Architens have a really bad maneuver.
Yeah,
he makes them much better. Can really change because the other thing to remember is the first click of that dial is the one that really makes the difference of your initial trajectory. You're talking the degrees are being applied initially.
Yeah,
really, that Swings two clicks it. Is the difference when you multiply that out a three level maneuver.
Yeah,
it's like a you look at the circle. It's like a whole close range or close to medium range worth of difference.
Yeah,
in that two clicking. No, I really love Jurgerod.
So he's good. He's another good one. So there is.
You do
there
have are some options. You do have to do something. You just take a damage, but you don't have to do a token or anything like that.
So and then we're saying Vader, Ozzel, and Screed for the
tied
for third. So Vader, who I like because he makes dice consistent, and I really like him with the Architens at the moment. But
yeah,
I do kind of want to try Jerry a bit more. But Vader. While a friendly ship is attacking, it may spend one defense token to reroll any number of dice in its attack roll. So you can do some, get some real lucky, proper rolls. You get the rolls you need for 36 points. 36 points. Yeah, he's basically Akbar price for the.
And again, I think he suffers from a similar thing that Akbar does in that a lot of your activations are Gazantes.
At the moment,
you don't really care about rerolling their dice.
Yeah. And then Screed, who saw a lot of play. He was the list, the winning admiral of the Nationals last year. Was Screed? Wasn't
he comes with Demo.
Yeah,
he Gladiator, I should say.
Demo.
He comes with the same thing.
Demolisher
just
pack.
Demo.
So once per activation, when a friendly ship is attacking, it may spend one die to change a die to a face with a crit icon. So you just basically get all the APT shots you need with Screed.
Yeah, he was cool with the Nationals winning list where it had all the Raiders.
Yeah.
So you didn't need to buy them all the
Demolishers and like...
All the Gladiators and Raiders as well. Because the Raiders, you just put the APT on, you don't need to buy them the Ordnance teams.
No.
Yeah.
Because you just use the Screed. But it is only once per activation, which means you can't use it with the Flechette Torpedoes to just do a billion squadrons, just activate all their squadrons.
You can do the key one though, I can see and it.
And then Admiral Ozzel... His honorable mention for 20 points. So he's the cheapest Imperial Admiral. When a friendly ship resolves a nav command, it may change its speed by an additional one, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. I like
him. Maybe a little overshadowed by Jerry at the moment.
Yeah. I played him in the campaign. I like him because he's cheap. But also, like the fact if you dawdle along with a nav token, you can get all your stuff from speed 1 to speed 4.
Yeah, and like be like, surprise.
And I was just able to boost past stuff, turn round stuff, so... Not amazingly powerful, but and again, you have to spend the nav command, but you can just build the tokens up.
Yeah.
For 20 points, like he's fine. If you're short of points, I think he's cool.
He's like the Donna of the Imperial side.
But not as good as
the Not Donna. As good as the Donna, though.
Because the Donna's static
cheap,
effect. Though. Yeah.
Very cheap.
All right, let's go to officers. So,
again, I think there's a bit of a standout here, Minister Tua.
I think, okay, so Minister Tua is really good. You gain an additional defensive retrofit icon in your upgrade bar. You cannot equip this card to a medium or large ship with a defensive retrofit icon in its upgrade bar for 2 points. 2 points is really, really efficient.
You have to buy the upgrade after as well.
You have to buy the upgrade after. So it's seen a lot of play on like ISD ones.
I can see more of these cards coming.
Indestructible.
Like other like officers that add.
Add slots.
Yeah, I can definitely see. This is probably like the start of.
She comes with Architens, I think.
So yeah.
Here's a card that fixes a problem with some of your ships.
She's really good for VSDs.
Yeah, definitely.
Giving a VSD ECMs makes it.
Yeah.
More survivable.
An ISD, yeah.
ISD one.
Yeah.
I do think my favorite one with her is the Kazanti one, just because Kazanti, you can't take ECM, the scatter.
And then a hand of justice somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Just never. But, I mean, it makes the reason is for the Kazanti is quite often I was playing Ben the other day and he had it. And I was lining up one good shot at Turton on the Kazanti.
Hmm.
And it's great. I get 3-4 damage and accuracy.
Should be dead.
Nope. ECM. So yeah, I'd had to have had two, just to, and then he would have spent it. So he would have just lost it. And then I had to get another one next turn as well.
Yeah.
So just for 2 points. I think she's the best.
Cool. It makes you stand out.
I don't know.
I'm not sure she's.
Who do you think's better?
I don't necessarily think anyone's.
No, they don't have a standout.
I think two is a standout. She changes. Lot. She makes those ships.
Yeah. Okay.
Like she makes the VSD usable.
So who else have you said? Like, we got Nida and Yulari.
My next little tier. I've got four. I've got Shirano.
Yeah.
We don't use him that much, but he is prevalent in a lot of other metas because of his rhymable addition.
And the other guy that lets you move and shoot.
Shirano, Kallus. Wolf, Yularen, and Nida. So if you start with Shirano.
So Admiral Shirano. So Squadron Command. Squadrons that you activate can move even if they're engaged. When an engaged squadron moves in this way, treat it as having a printed speed of 2.
So he means you don't have to take.
Never lock down.
You don't have to take any jump masters.
Yeah.
And he's got better with strategic, with Lambda squadrons.
Yeah.
Because of Rhymer, because Rhymer gives you that close to medium range, speed 2 plus Rhymer is actually a long way. And so you don't need to worry. And
amazing with that, the ship, the squadron that damages everything around it.
Mauler.
Mauler, yeah, yeah. Not locking down Mauler.
Yeah, phenomenal with Mauler. And I'd quite like to try him, with a sort of, you know, Rhymeball, Lambdas, I think.
Yeah.
You know.
Effective.
He's 10 points. He's really expensive.
But he's cheaper than one Intel ship.
Yeah, exactly. He's cheaper than a Jump Master.
Than a Jump Master.
Yeah. I guess you can spend those points on just getting another bomber.
Oh, no. And the other thing I was going to say, a jamming field as well.
Oh,
because then you don't, if you can just move out the way. Two could be enough to get you in a position out. You don't need to worry about shooting their squadrons. Just let them shoot you and shoot you. Have the jamming field to reduce the fire incoming and just go to town on their ships and not even worry about their anti-squadron.
Just keep going.
Just
cool.
Especially with defenders or something. Pretty hardy.
And then Wolf Yulana. So he's similar to Ramus Santillis, I guess. When you spend a command token, you may exhaust this card to gain a command token of the same type.
Yeah, different. He's their version of it.
Yeah.
It's quite different.
But pretty handy for, like, things with engine
types. It's identical. He is.
Yeah.
Like I said, you exhaust him, which is just, you can exhaust.
No, it's not identical, because with Ramus, you just get the token.
Oh, no, you get
the
token as well.
Doing.
So you get
with him, if he's great if you've got, like, engine techs.
Yeah. You want to be doing the same thing. Yeah, or even, like, you want to be doing engineering every turn. Scrap a shield every turn.
Interdicted with him.
Yeah. He's more slighted tool resistant than Santillis, but he's not as flexible, so he doesn't give you the order you want each turn, but he'll just give you a ship where you want the same.
You never run out.
Yeah.
Kallus, who Ben's favourite agent Kallus.
The favourite named agent.
While attacking a unique squadron, add one die of any colour to your attack pool.
I like this guy. I like
3 points.
So yeah, you can use him to wear down aces slightly faster.
The others are pretty much never used.
I got Nida in there, but Nida, he's quite specific.
Nida's pretty good for ISDs and stuff. So you basically replace one of your tokens with an evade token for 2 points.
Mm. I like him on the Architens because then your TRCs become double up TRCs becomes good.
Yeah, it's very, very specific.
Cool.
Well, there's only one title.
And then, the same profile for titles for Imperial. You've got one absolute standout and then a load of dross.
Which one is that? Is that Insidious?
Yes, Matt. Yes, it is.
It's Vector, I thought.
No, you got the right Centical? Ship. You've got the wrong title.
Warlord. There we go. Okay, so the standout title for the Imperials, surprise, surprise, is Demolisher. We even said earlier, it comes with a Demolisher pack, right?
It's so ubiquitous that I just call Gladiators Demolishers now.
It's just those things that slightly break the rules that become so good. But yeah, Demolisher, during your action, just in case anyone...
Because they break the rules, they're broken.
Yeah, that's what makes something broken.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
During your activation, you can perform one of your attacks after you execute a maneuver for 10 points. So.
And it hits like a truck.
So you get your close range attack in, and then next turn you double up them. Uh-huh. And you're like, thanks.
You can do an engine test as well, because yeah.
Because it's just like that. So you do,
it's after you do a maneuver, an engine text is a maneuver.
Do you do your attack, swing around, do another attack?
So you can use this, like you say, to get the... You can shoot at long range with your red dice from your front, park in the side with a double arc, shoot the side. Then next turn, activate first and do both. Yeah. And all these are... There's APT hits for all of these as well. But you can also now use it for squadrons if you take the bigger gladiator with the two blues.
Which I think everyone is taking nowadays anyway.
Yeah, I started this. And especially if you remember back in a previous one, it was my idea.
Oh yeah, for the AA idea.
It was our simultaneous idea.
But I think it's more important to have that red die now.
Yeah.
With Jonas out.
Yeah.
I liked him with Kallus. I thought it was great with Kallus.
He is good.
You can hose
the squadrons twice.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
With three dice each. Murder those Z95s, right?
Damn it. Right, so what are we saying for...
Well, Ricky won't like this. We're just talking about titles here, okay? I think Interdictor is a great title. Ship itself's not great, but it is a really good title.
You can't be a good title if you don't use the ship.
Yeah, you can. Because the Neb B is not a very good ship, but Yavaris is a very good title.
Yeah, but that means you wouldn't take
a raw Neb B, would you?
You wouldn't take an Interdictor.
You wouldn't take a blank Interdictor without the title.
You wouldn't take a Neb B unless you had Yavaris. Or maybe Salvation.
Yeah. But honestly, no one takes an Interdictor ever. It's just you can't use the title if it's not, except Matt.
Hello, Ricky. Have we met?
Even you gave up on it.
No, I'm coming back round to the idea. Okay, cool. And then three.
I had Suppressor.
Yeah, Suppressor.
Maybe Suppressor above.
Suppressor. I don't think Suppressor is as played as Bright Hope, but it's a very good title if you take...
It's quite cheap.
Gazanti. Yeah. For 4 points, after an enemy ship ends its activation, if it is distance 1 to 3... You may choose and exhaust one of its defense tokens, which I think pairs nicely with the wild card that I want to throw in.
Avenger. Oh, I like Avenger. I think it's worthwhile.
So an ISD title, while attacking, the defender cannot spend exhausted defense tokens for 5 points.
Avenger's a great one.
It's very much a combo piece.
And the other reason I don't like Avenger as much is because it's on an ISD, right? ISD is a lot of your points, is a lot of your activation. You have to do it after other stuff has activated, which is to exhaust their defense tokens.
Yeah.
By which time, anything that was being threatened by the front arc of that ISD has had a chance to get away.
Yeah.
So it's not as good as it.
I think you need to set up the things so that people end up in your front arc.
Exactly. And that's harder than just being able to activate and say, oh, I activate and I do stuff, which is really good. Yeah. Like Demolisher, I just activate and stuff happens.
The side arcs still can be brutal to those smaller ships.
Yes, true.
And if you can get those, like flotillas now,
yeah.
If you can get the flotillas to exhaust their scatter because you've hit them with some bombers or
they're
something.
Dead.
Just a side arc Avenger.
It's good.
I tried a combo with Devastator with Avenger, with two ISDs. Devastator lets you throw out a blue at any range.
Yeah. And then have we got any more? I think both the Raider titles are quite nice. Yeah.
I think, personally, Hand of Justice is my wild card for underplayed because it keeps that scatter token alive
on your Gazanti minister to
or it keeps a brace alive if you're playing one ISD and it's getting a pasting, it keeps that brace alive.
Hand of Justice Architect's title: before you reveal a command, you may exhaust this command to choose another friendly ship at distance 1-5 and ready one of its defense tokens for 4 points. So yeah, it's a pretty good title.
You do have to, again, you just have to do it in the activation order. Has to be.
I'll admit, I run pretty slim Arctens, so I don't think I've ever actually played with either of those titles.
And it's good. The Hand of Justice is good as well. If you're using the TRC route, which is my preferred route, you can flip those TRCs back up, the evade tokens back up.
Cool.
We didn't read Interdictor out after all that.
Oh, they didn't hear it. It's a terrible card.
No, terrible, it's a good card. The ship is terrible.
It lets you re-roll at close range.
So Interdictor, when a ship activates, you may exhaust this card to ready one other upgrade equipped to this ship.
For 3 points.
Yeah.
So it means you can use Targeting Scrambler
twice. So you have to. Yeah, so it's Targeting Scrambler or G8 Experimental.
It's when a ship activates, so it could be any ship. Yeah. So as long as there's two attacks from different sources, you can do the...
Yeah. But the problem with the Targeting Scrambler is if you get double arcs. If you get double arcs, you're only doing one of those.
I guess you save it for the bigger arc, right?
Yeah.
Save it for the Admonition side arc.
So
that was a bit...
Quite an episode today.
Bit faster than our... Well, it's not too bad. Not too bad on the length. It was a bit faster than we've done some of the other upgrade things. But I think, you know what you get them in. They're faction specific, so you don't need to tactically buy, because if you're collecting a faction, you're buying stuff for that faction anyway. You only need one. By definition, you only ever need one. So you don't have to collect multiples of them. So it's easier to, in that sense... And I do think that there are a lot of... The Imperial profile is there's a couple of standouts that you use all the time. And there's room for innovation in the officer slot.
Definitely.
A lot of room. I like Chirino, Yularen.
When we were just going over Rebels, we were saying this one's good and this one's good and this one's good. But in Rebels...
Imperial, it's not the same. Yeah, there isn't that room, which is a real shame, I think. Because
you can use this one, or you could use this one, maybe.
You see the same things in a lot of Imperial lists. Yeah. And I was a Rebel player at heart, and I started playing a lot of Rebels, and I've tried to move into Imperials and make stuff work that isn't...
You want a Demolisher and Imperial?
I did, but do you know what I had in my list? I had a Rival Ball with Demolisher,
so
I didn't really innovate there, did I?
I don't see it changing in next wave either. It's just going to be
the carrier.
Bigger.
The new Admiral might enable the new Admiral type Sloane.
More TIE Fires.
Swarm.
Just wait for that rapid launch bay and we spit out everything and strip all his defense tokens.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Awesome. The Avenger. The Avenger with rapid launch phase.
I already thought an idea for that.
Would be cool.
It might make me switch to Imperials.
That'd be cool, yeah. And then you jump out loads of decimators or something. And spend all their accuracies from their blue dice.
Yes. To exhaust all their tokens or whatever.
Yeah, and then Avenger just nails it. Yeah, that'd be cool.
It's a shame rapid launch phase doesn't feature a thing where you can suck everything back up.
Just go back.
And just be like,
Yeah. So, and like we said with the other ones, these are just the good ones. So, if you're starting out, hopefully we've given you good ideas of where to start or some ideas for lists. If you're more experienced, you probably know some of these already, but at least these are the ones that you will be playing against a lot. So, we've hopefully helped prepare, give you a bit more more info on the stuff that we see. Next, I think we're going to move on to ships or squadrons. Yeah. We'll decide near the time. We'll do one side's ships and squadrons, perhaps, and do our top picks.
Oh, there's any one for Imperials to go through? That's a quick quick one. Just have Demolisher.
Okay, so that wraps things up. So just before we go, a reminder of our contact pages. So we've got... the Facebook page we already mentioned, which is ComsNoise UK.
ComsNoise UK on Facebook.
And we're going to have some pictures of us podcasting up on there. Some pictures of our Q1 kit, including admonition between the two.
That's there already.
And I think I've got a picture of my game with Peter as well, where it was just an absolute clusterfuck of Corvettes and flotillas just mashing into each other.
We will try to do better and get more up on there as well.
Yeah,
we could actually list a lot of our thoughts on what we could have them written down.
I took a picture of the the scenario with Ben where we...
Oh, what a mess.
That's a mess. And there's, I've got a picture of your game as well, Ricky, the deployment to the superior position. So it's all your ships versus a rhymeable, and then all the other ships on the other side of the table.
You get to see how that was looking in the start.
So maybe I'll annotate this and post that up.
Yeah, so we'll have stuff up there.
We'll get more stuff on there.
Of course, feel free to message us. Yeah. Ask us any questions, stuff you'd like to hear, any feedback you've got as well, it'd be gratefully received. And we also have an email address where you can do
consnoiseuk@gmail.com.
Yeah.
All of this is listed below the...
Yeah.
If you found our podcast, you'll find a lot of this in the details.
Yeah. And please do get in touch. We'll read, unless we get a sudden barrage of, you know, hundreds of thousands of emails, we'll read everything out that we get, providing it's suitable for
if you want to joke about Ricky and how much he loves your virus, please feel free.
Can we say that I haven't used this in years?
So yeah, now Ricky's so sure about relying too heavily on Defiance.
Defiance and Home One.
So we'll try and get another episode in a month's time. Hopefully we won't miss won't be as long as the wait this time, and then we might try and get a special quick bonus one in for Euros, I reckon.
Yeah.
Euros isn't far away now.
Euros in the
just over a month.
NEC in Birmingham in the UK.
Should see if we can get some video for that as well, maybe.
It's going to be really good. It's a 2-day tournament.
3-day if you...
We're not getting there. Okay.
Hey, okay. Maybe you guys are. Okay, my interdictor is going to
interdict us.
Yeah, so catch us possibly in the finals.
Day three if you make the cut. But I wouldn't want to anyway, because the Expo is a really cool show with lots of games and lots of cool stuff. I want to actually see the show on a Sunday. I don't want to spend all day in the room.
Chris is not going to make a cut. Obviously,
I could if I wanted to.
It may end up going 2 days because it's not 100 people. I think it's like...
I do hope it gets down to 4 or 5 rounds, and then we can have at least a Saturday afternoon to go and enjoy the...
I think it'll be 5 to 6 rounds, and then you get...
Yeah, if we see you there, if you're going, you recognise our voices or you know us, do come and say hi. We might try and record and get maybe, if we can get some people who've done well or who had some cool lists or people that we played, might have some quick guest interviews there.
Some sort of dictaphone set up.
Oh, no one owns one. That.
Ask Ben.
You got your phone.
We'll work some tech out.
We'll work out.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Cheers.
Bye.